Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for TWiT specials is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is TWiT Live special number 247, Google I.O. 2015. This TWiT Live special is brought to you by Braintree. If you're working on a mobile app and searching for the right payments API, check out the Braintree V.0 SDK. With one simple integration, your customers get every way to pay. To learn more and to try out the sandbox, go to BraintreePayments.com/TWiT. Hello, everybody. Leo Laporte here at the TWiT Brickhouse Studios at Petaluma, watching, as you can see right now, Moscone West in San Francisco. Go ahead and show them that, Jason. Where Google I.O. is about to begin, the Google Developer Conference for 2015. Very exciting. Joining us now for our live coverage, Aaron Newcomb. Great to see you from All About Android.
Thanks for having me.
And NetApp. Good to see you. There's that lovely EDM. You said Dieter Bohn said, I don't have any. What did he say?
He said, I ran out of things to say about the music. I'm just sad about it now.
From The Verge. Also joining us via Skype, Ronxo, Ron Richards. Also from All About Android. Good to have you. The Android gurus in-house. And look who's here. Longtime Twig host and a startup founder at thinkup.com, Gina Trapani, is also here. Hi, Gina.
Howdy.
Great to have you.
Exciting. Good to be here.
Yeah. This is exciting. All right. What do you think is going to happen, Gina? Predictions before we get going. Just a few minutes away.
I want lots of juicy Android news. I want to know what M stands for. I want to hear about Android Pay. I want better permissions and notifications, especially. And I want more better wear, Android Wear. That's my...
Better wear.
More better wear. That's my 140 character version.
And you said you want to see something as cheesy but fascinating as cardboard.
Yeah, yeah. I don't want another Google Glass skydive. I don't want another, you know, Death Star. I don't even want another Wave demo. I want another cardboard. Not cardboard specifically, but something kind of quirky and out of left field and 20% time that's, like, fun and awesome.
Aaron Newcomb, what do you think we're going to see today? What are you looking for?
Well, I'm hoping for some news in the home automation front. So, you know, Google bought Nest a while back. And, you know, assumingly, they've been working on something behind the scenes. So I'd really like to see them branch out in the home automation department. So that's what I'm hoping for, as well as upgrades to Chromecast. There's been some rumors that there's going to be a new version of Chromecast coming, which is great. Everybody seems to love Chromecast. I certainly love it. So I'd like to see Chromecast 2.
Chromecast 2, I think, is in the cards. But at least certainly with Android TV, something's going to happen.
Something's got to happen.
Yeah. How about you, Ron? What do you think?
Well, like Gina, I want to see some stuff in Android Wear, but I actually want to see some actual wearables, like a jacket or some sort of clothes, something different than a watch. But I'm holding out. I know it's a rumor, and I don't think it's going to happen, but I'm holding out for a new Nexus phone. I want to see a 5 or 5.5-inch new Nexus device get announced.
Ooh, so, yeah. We need that, don't we?
Yes, I do.
Mike Elgin is in the audience there. So is All About Android's Jason Howell. Keep your eye peeled for them. They'll report back after Google I.O., but we're going to give you live keynote coverage. Just a word of warning. We'll talk all over this thing. That's what we do. If you want to watch the stream live, it's on YouTube, on the Google Developers channel, and I'm sure other places as well, and you can watch it without our interruptions. But if you're interested in the commentary of us four people, this is the place to be. 5, 4, 3... Will they begin on time? 2, 1. I expect, actually, and I was told there'll be some big cardboard announcements, believe it or not. Google's,
really?
This is Google's VR platform, and I expect to see more.
I think we're going to see a lot with gaming, actually, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. And VR will be a piece of that, but mm-hmm. gaming will be a big thing.
Very Matrix-y on-screen presentation. Yeah. Earlier, they were playing Pong. Remember, last year, they had a giant Rube Goldberg clock counting down the time. The problem with doing that is you have to start on time, because when the clock goes over, you got to go. This way, look at the guy with the Android helmet. Oh, man.
I don't think I've seen a woman yet. Have we seen Jeff Jarvis, though? Is he there?
Jeff is also, I forgot. There's a woman.
Right on cue.
They were listening.
Oh, there we go.
I do see a lot of Nexus 6s in the audience. Remember, you have to have a Nexus 6 if you want to be a Google Fi participant. Yep. I wonder if they'll talk more about Google Fi, Google's wireless play.
Yeah, I haven't heard much in the rumor mill about Google Fi.
The Verge says more selfie sticks than Google Glass. So,
and somebody in the chat room saying, gee, I'd love to be there live. It's true. There is something about going to events like this, whether it's Apple or Google. Pretty much just that, Apple or Google. It makes this a lot of excitement.
There's an energy.
Fun.
There's an energy and a vibe. Like, that room right now is just vibrating. Yeah. Everyone's so excited.
But that's actually a good reason to watch us, because I always feel, and maybe it's just me, when I go to these things, I get sucked in to all the hype and excitement, you know, and I'm like, yes, Google is so great. But then when you're, you know, removed from it, like we are, I think you actually have a little
bit
better
perspective. There's a reality distortion field in there.
Exactly.
There's the big console at which I guess they were playing Pong, and then that Pong game was being presented up on the screen.
There's going to be a moment where they're going to play a really heart-wrenching video about how the internet has changed the world and Google's been such a big part of that. And that's the point at which they completely have me when I'm present in the room. So it'll be fun to watch it with a little perspective with you guys.
Yeah, yeah. No. You know, I think we also get swept up a little bit. And that's part of the fun of these.
It's impossible not to. Yeah.
And so that's another warning. We may get over exuberant about something that, in the cold hard light of day tomorrow, will be
over exuberance warning. That's a good one. That's true.
Yeah,
irrational exuberance ahead.
Yes. I wonder if that remote Pong station is tipping their hand towards the gaming aspect. If that's going to play in their multi-screen gaming kind of play.
Yeah, I think so.
Because you got to imagine everything is there for a reason, and so Pong is there. It's there for a reason.
It's a statement.
Yeah. Yeah. This wraparound screen that they've got going on—that they didn't have that last year.
And this is gorgeous.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah.
VR, right? I'm telling you.
Yeah, VR. You're right.
It's going to be all about VR today.
Yep. VR and gaming, apparently.
Yep. Yeah. See if they're going to go. They're going to it again.
The finals.
I was a Pong champion at Google I/O.
that's kind of wild, though.
Oh, that's awesome. Enormous.
Look at that. That's incredible.
Cameras having a hard time keeping up with it.
Oh, that's cool.
Isn't that cool?
Pong VR, ladies and gentlemen. You saw it here first.
That doesn't look like if you were sitting in the audience that would be easy to keep track of.
No. I hope they're not looking at the big screens, but local.
Look at their
screen.
Eyes. I mean, they have a big wide screen in front of them, but the screen's so wide, you can see their eyes tracking it all the way, like, you know. Two feet across.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's close, too.
It is.
Are these Googlers, you think? Probably. This is their 20% project. I have devised a way. All right, let's talk about Silicon Valley this week and Hooli.
Oh, I mean, this is an episode writing itself. Right?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Hooli is, of course, the Google analog on the HBO comedy half hour Silicon Valley, which partly because Dan Lyons is writing for it, is a lot of insider stuff. You saw Kevin Rose kind of lampooned this week on the episode. Poor Kevin. Although, I'm not sure if it's poor Kevin. I think, I feel like that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is cool. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. He was in great company. I would have taken that as a tremendous compliment.
Yeah.
It was after a massive failure of Hooli's video playback. Look, the game's over. We have a winner. And he gets a giant plush Android doll.
Nice.
Nice pixelated 8-bit.
Pixely.
Nice.
Oh, okay.
That's cool.
That was intentional pixelation.
Oh, yeah. Minecraft, anyone? All right, the light's dim. Here we go.
Here we go.
Oh, this is pretty cool.
Wow.
I am kind of excited. This is how it should be, though.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You should wow them.
Oh, man.
Because you can, because you're a very, very big, wealthy company.
You got a captive audience.
Yep.
Look at all those cameras taking pictures.
Yeah. Last year's affair was a little drab. I think this is Google coming back strong.
How many Meerkat and Periscope streams are going right now?
Yeah.
And
why?
I think
because
the network there is doing very well.
You can watch HD right there on the internet. Norma arm.
Right.
Norma arm. Oh, wait a minute. That looks like a 3D rendering. What are we seeing here? What is Norma arm? Quick, Google it.
Yeah, Google it quick. Is that a... Oh, that must be
These are galaxies.
Galaxy or...
Or meteors or...
Android
an arm
space.
In the Milky Way. The Norma arm is a minor spiral arm of Milky Way extending around its central hub region.
What if Android M is meteor?
Meteor. Ooh.
Yeah. Not a dessert.
Yeah, it's not a dessert, though.
Yeah, but still.
Meteor, unfortunately, is not available as a JavaScript framework. It's quite popular, actually. I like it. Although, that didn't stop him. That's why desserts, though, are safe. You can't really trademark a dessert.
Right.
Neptune. So we're going, we're coming. Are we going to, we're heading towards Earth?
Yeah. Yeah, we're heading towards
Earth. They started in the middle of our galaxy.
Milky Way.
Yes. You did it. Yes.
Good job, Aaron.
It's a dessert and a universe.
That's right.
Yep.
A galaxy. Not a universe. John is our, he's going to keep us on his Saturn.
It'll be the pivot name from
I
candy to space.
I love Milky Way.
Yeah.
And it does come from Mars, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Milky Way. You think they'll license? Yes.
Yeah.
It's another Kit Kat.
Yeah, are we going to have a Milky Way on the phone now?
I think you nailed it. I think I'm going to buy you a McCafe.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Oh, Evil IRC in our chat room says, hey, I said that yesterday. I like it.
First.
Moz. Beautiful. I can't imagine what this looks like in, 180 surround.
Yeah, this is cool.
Is crazy.
I love how they're using the camera work in the facility. The beautiful jib, obviously. And somebody really knows what they're doing. And there we go, planet Earth. Oh. All right, you are a ghost. Apollo 8. Oh. What happened? Everything went dark. Was there a power outage?
They're announcing somebody, probably. Maybe.
Pink Floyd. It's the dark side
this
of the moon.
Serious lead up, you guys.
Yeah.
Oh, there we boom. Go. Back with the... Oh, it's an elevator. Space elevator. They're going to announce a space elevator.
Yeah. Seriously, how long has this lead up been? Haven't we done the countdown?
Yeah, I know.
What was the countdown to the countdown, Gina?
Oh, right.
Now we're inside the factory.
Between the fly-in.
This is where the bits are made.
Oh, there's your
robot. They've really turned up the drama this year.
Yeah.
I wonder how the sound is in the building. Is it dramatically surround?
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Gotta be.
Oh, they stitch together beautifully. Look at that. Just you have to make room for an exit sign, but other than that.
For a room that big, the sound is actually pretty good at Moscone. They do a good job.
Yeah.
This is the peak of all of our hopes and dreams, folks. Enjoy it.
That's right. Here we go.
clicking up that roller coaster.
This is what we live for all year.
Right now, anything can happen.
Anything.
Yep.
Another countdown? What? Oh, the countdown stopped at 7.
007, of course.
Of course.
As one remembers from Goldfinger, the final count on the atomic bomb that Auric Goldfinger had placed inside Fort Knox to destroy the world's gold reserves.
What?
Actually, I think I mixed up movies there. Sorry. What the hell now?
This is like a little chrome farm.
This is the cow level. Google does have a cow level.
There's an Uber. Gets into an Uber.
Was it an Uber?
Yeah, it had an Uber.
It had an Uber logo
oh, really?
On it.
This YouTube logo. That's interesting.
It's HTML5 Island.
100 miles to
look
code.
At VLC cones. Yep.
Yep.
Is this
you guys are good.
Android. We got a W. We got a word kick. These are apps.
We have emojis.
These are
all
apps.
So this is material, and it's material right now, right? So we're looking at M. This is all about Milky Way.
Oh.
The hell?
Oh, there was a kayak.
Bytor in our chat room says,
actually, Leo, that was not 007. That was 007. I think you have a mistake.
There's Sheets. There's Airbnb.
Drive.
This looks like the Silicon Valley Open.
Is this the island? Is this the island that Larry Page talked about this is so eloquently island. Last year?
The island of lost design.
It looks a little bit like the Silicon Valley.
That's what I was saying. Yeah.
Oh, we got Fit. We got Fitbit. We got some
Map My Ride.
There's Health or Google Fit.
Google Fit. Yeah.
I like Google Fit.
Thank you, Aaron.
I do.
It likes you too.
I like Google Fit.
Whoa! Follow the bouncing ball. More countdown. 7, 8. Now they're counting up.
Yeah.
I mean, this is.
They like numbers at Google.
They're a data-driven company.
Oh, that was some code. Look at that. That's some code there, baby. Map, new map. What is that? Gina, what's that code mean? Quick. That's it. By that, it looked like Go. I'm pretty sure it was Go Lion.
It did look like Go.
Yeah. Ooh, what does it say? Here's to what you build next. Of course, developers
Welcome
conference.
To the stage, Senior Vice President of Products, Sundar Pichai.
Of course. The man secretly in charge of Google, Sundar Pichai, whose ascendancy has been quite rapid. And he's wearing, it looks like a...
Good morning.
360.
Welcome to Google I.O.
Is it a 360? Looks big.
Thank you for joining us today. I know there were long lines. Thank you for making it in.
Yeah, it looks...
We are being joined
It's
like,
it might be an Urbane.
Yeah,
I guess an Urbane.
So welcome to all of
And we're in the same watch.
As always, we live stream I.O. to many, many locations around the world. In fact, to over 460 locations in 90 countries across 6 continents. Let's say hello to a couple of them. First is to Mexico City.
Wow. Looks like a soccer match.
Bienvenidos.
Are they doing the wave? Sore subject.
I know, yeah. FIFA.
Let's move on. We are moving to Munich in Germany.
Even Sundar has
Guten Tag.
Yeah. There you go. A little better dressed crowd.
Oh, some Google fans in Germany.
It's very World Cup
esque. Small town Juja outside of Nairobi.
Wow.
In Kenya.
Oh, that's cool. Look at that.
The next billion, right?
Yep.
There's a college there, and so we have many students joining us. It's really exciting to be here today. This is, of course, the moment of mobile and the smartphone. We've been talking about the mobile revolution for a while. But just since last year,
it's really emphasized what a global company, even looking at the audience, what a global company.
Who, for the first time, have adopted a smartphone, and they're beginning the journey of computing. So it's incredibly special the moment we live in.
The next billion, Gina said it.
So at Google, we've always been working hard to build products for everyone in the world. We try to look at technology and see by using technology, can we make a difference to a fundamental problem in people's lives? That's how we did Google Search. Google Search worked the same for everyone in the world, whether you were a rural kid in Indonesia or a professor at a world-class research center. You had the same search results at your fingertips as long as you had access to a computer and connectivity. We went on to solve many more problems. We asked, why does Gmail have to be so slow? Why couldn't you search through all your email? That led us to Gmail. We noticed people were really interested in the real world around them.
Kind of a history of Google.
Google Maps, YouTube. Yeah. Over time, we built 2 computing platforms. Chrome, because we noticed browsers were very slow and not safe to use.
It's evolution
Android,
here.
Mm-hmm. And the story, frankly.
The
fragmentation and how difficult it was to build mobile phones.
Not merely the history, but the kind of the thread lines
experience was
of
very
Google's
difficult.
Thinking.
We brought products together in the form of Android. Each of these products today work at scale for everyone in the world, and we are privileged to serve over 1 billion users in each of these products.
Wow.
So today, in this moment of mobile, at I.O., we're going to talk about 2 things. The first is how we are evolving our computing platforms, not just for mobile, but beyond mobile for a multi-screen world. The second is how Google, core to our mission of organizing the world's information, is really evolving the mobile experience for users. So let's get started with our computing platforms and Android. Android is working at scale. Last year, 8 out of 10 phones that were shipped were based on Android.
80% of the global market.
The breadth and depth of what we see in Android is just stunning. We just want to visualize it and internalize it for a minute. So behind me, you're going to see a dot, a single dot for every Android active phone out there.
Oh, no.
And we are representing the range with colors. Blue stands for high-end phones. High pixel
Holy
density,
cow.
High RAM. Phones
That's
like
a data
Samsung
visualization.
Galaxy S6, LG G4, etc.
Wow.
Orange is at the other end of the spectrum, what you see in emerging markets. Small, affordable, the entry-level smartphones.
It's all being sucked into Mountain View.
There are over 4,000 distinct devices you see in Android. And the range of what we see is what we really embrace. In fact,
look at that map.
When we say be together, not the same, that is precisely what we mean. We want to make
a one-to-one correlation between GDP or
we want to provide
average
for users
income.
The way
I was
going to
say, look how dark Africa
so that
is.
It works for them. Next slide.
Next slide. That's enough.
So today,
thank you.
We're also going to talk about how Android is not only evolving for mobile,
what is this, Larry Ellison?
But how we are
Next
taking
slide.
Computing beyond mobile as well. Last year at Google I.O., we talked about Android evolving to many, many form factors. So let's see how we are doing. We have to remember with the phone, we started with one phone, and today we serve 400 OEMs, 500 carriers.
Apple's got bands, we've got bands.
The same journey is underway in each of these areas. For Android Wear, we started with two models. Today we are up to over seven models, and there are many more to come. The team has been evolving the software continuously, and you'll get a full update on that today. Android Auto. We announced this last year as an open automotive alliance. Just last week, Hyundai announced that its Sonata models are available in U.S. dealerships right now. GM announced 13 of its Chevrolet models for 2016 will be based on Android Auto. Volkswagen just announced this week its entire lineup for 2016, including Passat and the common models in Europe and North America, is based on Android Auto. Ford, GM, Mitsubishi. We have over 35 car manufacturers beginning to ship, and so we'll have a whole range of vehicles coming in the market soon. Android TV. We announced last year as a reference device, ADT1. Today, we have Sony and Sharp televisions shipping in the U.S., Philips, which is very popular in Europe, and many more models coming. There are many, many streaming consoles. NVIDIA Shield is a great console.
Yeah,
Razer
Shield,
has
one. New Shield.
And the range of content we are seeing in
pretty
Android
impressive.
TV is pretty breathtaking. We have grown our user base there. We have doubled in the last 3 months alone. Of course, for TV, for televisions,
17 million Chromecasts.
Solution in the form of Chromecast.
Wow.
People have bought over 17 million devices. They've pressed the
not a lot of money at $35, but a significant presence.
That's eyeballs.
Well, especially when you think that Roku,
all of this is powered
total
by
Roku sales,
content ecosystem
think
in Google
less than a million.
And today I'm very excited to announce HBO Now for the first time.
I'm surprised that 20,000 apps.
That's big. That was an Apple exclusive until now. So
and iOS using Cast.
Excellent.
Nice.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm sorry.
Good.
Roku has 10 million sales.
You can watch your favorite episodes, be it Game
million.
Of Thrones.
So it's still significant.
True Detective season, or maybe even your favorite episode of Silicon Valley.
There we go.
There's the mention.
And they love it, too.
This moment doesn't make it in there. So we always start I.O. by giving an update of our...
So we knew the HBO Now exclusive was just for 3 months, and that,
everything we
you know,
confirmed. Last year with L...
And developer preview. There we go.
L was a major release for us in which we tackled many, many form factors.
Remember,
for
Google
M,
did
not... We've gone back to the basics. We've really focused on polish and quality. We've literally solved thousands of bugs. More importantly, thought through every detail to make it better. To give you a preview of the upcoming M release, let me invite Dave Burke onto the stage.
I'm going to talk about battery optimization.
Yes, please. Yep.
They always do. It's always batteries.
Thanks, Sidhar. So this year, we've made a conscious decision to focus on quality end-to-end. And today, I'm excited to share a preview of the new M release of Android. The central theme of M is improving the core user experience of Android. Our focus is on product excellence. Everything from squashing thousands of bugs to rethinking fundamental aspects of how the platform has worked for years. Now, one of the unique and amazing things about Android is that it's an open platform. We make the source code available to everyone, from hobbyists to the world's largest device manufacturers. And this has enabled device makers, both small and large, to innovate and iterate Android, often many years ahead of the competition. With M, we're excited to be able to fold in some of these improvements that we've seen in the ecosystem into the official Android platform, so we can make them more widely available to users and app developers alike. So let me take a few minutes and walk you through six key areas where we've really improved the core user experience in M. Now, one of the things Android users tell us they love is their ability to customize and really control the behavior of their phones. So in M, we're bringing this approach to app permissions.
Yeah.
Yep, there it is.
So with app permissions, we're giving users meaningful choice and control over the data they care about. You don't have to agree to permissions that don't make sense to you. And we're accomplishing this through a few big changes. First, we're greatly simplifying app permissions to a smaller set of easily understood things like location, camera, microphone. Second, apps will now ask you for permission the first time you try to use a feature instead of asking during app installation time.
As you use, that's the right way to do it.
That's very iOS-esque,
so,
right? That's how they
let's
do it.
Let's take a look at how this could work with WhatsApp. Now, keep in mind, when I install the app, I wasn't asked to grant any permissions up front. Okay, so let's say I'm in the app, and I want to send a voice message. When I press the mic button, the app makes a request to the system to access the microphone, which then brings up this permission prompt. The permission directly reflects the use case. And this is a one-time request, and of course, I as a user can allow or deny the request on a per-permission basis. Now that I've granted the permission, I can hold the mic button and record a message, like so. So one of the things we've heard from our users is the desire to change or revoke an already granted permission. So at M, I can now go into settings, choose the app, see what permissions it has, and even modify them. I can also go... And I can also go the other way. So I can choose a permission, say microphone, and see which apps have access to it.
That's cool.
Now,
that's cool.
For developers, the new app permissions apply to apps compiled against the M SDK. Legacy apps targeting SDK versions before M will behave as before. One of the really nice side effects of the new permission model for app developers is it's faster to get users up and running in your app. We also know that with the old permission model, that adding a new permission to your app can affect your update adoption.
Mm-hmm.
With the new permission model, updates are seamless because user involvement is deferred until right when it's needed.
Oh, that's
okay,
great.
Okay, so that's app permissions. This is a pretty big departure since Android 1.0, but it's a more intuitive model for users. It's a much more seamless app install process for app developers.
The danger here, though, is that it cheeses off users, right? If they keep getting asked over and over again, do you want to do this? Do you want to do this? I mean, that's what people hated about Windows for so long, especially Windows 8. They had to keep authorizing things.
That's a lot of the responsibility on the user.
It is.
As opposed to the developer.
Yeah. And we'll know what those things mean, but will the average user know what they're doing? Or are they just going to say, allow every time? Does it end up being a EULA?
Yeah.
And web views have this nice property that they enable you to make the transition to web content really seamless. You can make it feel like one app. But while web views are powerful, they have some downsides. It means developers have to get into the business of building a browser, which is a complex and time-consuming thing to do well. And for the user, browsing content in web view means you lose some of the things that make users' lives really easy on the web, like save passwords or logged in sessions. So Chrome Custom Tabs is a new feature that gives developers a way to harness all of Chrome's capabilities while still keeping control of the look and feel of the experience. And we've been working with our friends over at Pinterest on this, and I'd like to show you a sample of what's possible. So here I am in the Pinterest app. Let's tap on something interesting. Now when I tap on a web link at the bottom, you'll notice that there's a custom transition animation into Chrome Custom Tabs. Now remember, this is actually the Chrome browser now running on top of your app. And the custom tab is branded the same color as Pinterest, so it feels like one experience. And you can even see that Pinterest has added a custom button to the toolbar to pin pages.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
And they can also add additional items to Chrome's overflow menu up at the top right.
Oh, that's very nice.
Yeah, I like that.
Gives an easy way.
So it's almost like building like an app Chrome sandwich almost, where Chrome is operating within the application as opposed to a custom browser. Yeah.
Chrome ahead of time to prefetch the content. And of course, the real benefit is for users. With Chrome custom tabs, you're signed into your favorite site since it uses Chrome staked. And you get all of Chrome's features, such as safe passwords, all the filling forms, Google Translate, and more.
Don't save your passwords in Chrome. They're saved in the clear, please.
So Chrome Custom Tabs is available today on the Chrome Dev Channel, and we're excited about rolling it out to users.
So I have to use LastPass. Google's position is if somebody's logged onto your computer and can see your passwords, then they're logged in. They do not in any way encrypt those passwords.
Now I'd like to talk to you about some improvements we're doing when you want to link from an app to another app. And linking is, of course, one of those fundamental principles of the web. It brings different websites together as part of a natural user experience flow. And as more and more web destinations get corresponding rich app experiences, for example, the YouTube app or the Twitter app, we've seen different attempts to enable linking between apps so as to apply those same fundamental principles of the web. Now, Android's intent system already provides a powerful way to enable an app to advertise that it can handle rendering of a particular link pattern. But one of the limitations of the current system is that when a user selects a web link from somewhere, Android doesn't know whether to show it in the web browser or some other app that claims support for the link. As a result, Android will show the infamous disambiguate dialogue to ask the user to choose. No.
I hate that dialogue.
Yeah. In the M release, we're
always or just
Android's
once
intent system to provide a more powerful app linking capability. Apps can now add an auto-verify attribute to their application manifest to indicate that they want the links they claim they support to be verified by the platform. The Android platform will then make a request to the web server pointed to by the links at app installation time and look for a file containing the name and signature of the application. This enables Android to verify that the app owns the links it claims it does. So now
when I, as a
user, tap on a verified link, let's say a Twitter link I received in an email, the Android platform will seamlessly route me to the Twitter app with no more disambiguate dialogue.
It kind of leaves third-party developers in the cold, though.
Yeah.
Twitter's a terrible example.
Yeah, what if I want to use a different client?
They may have a URL registration scheme. In fact, I'm sure they do have a URL registration scheme. So any app could register its URL as part of the share process. I'm sure that would do it for other apps.
Yeah, but Twitter wouldn't verify, right? So
right. Well, it'd be your responsibility maybe to verify.
Yeah.
Or NFC and Gingerbread.
The app's
and postcard emulation, which we introduced in KitKat. With Android Pay, users can simply and safely use their Android phone to pay in stores, wherever they see the Android Pay logo or the NFC logo, or indeed in thousands of Android Pay partner apps. Android Pay is focused on simplicity.
This is the new name of wallet.
And choice.
We'll see how it's different.
Simple,
from wallet.
Because all you have to do is unlock your phone like normal, place it in front of the NFC terminal to pay, and there's no need to open any app. It's that easy. It's secure because when you add a card for use with Android Pay, a virtual account number is created, which is then used to process your payment. Your actual card number is not shared with the store during the transaction.
Yeah.
And you have choice. We built Android Pay as an open platform, so people will be able to choose the most convenient way to activate Android Pay, either through our app or through any supported banking app. And we're working with leading financial institutions so you can securely use your existing debit and credit cards with Android Pay. And of course, we're also working with major US mobile carriers, including AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile, to ensure that whenever you buy a new phone, you can walk out the door ready to go. And of course, Android Pay works with any Android device with NFC. Android Pay will work in over 700,000 stores across the US which accept contactless payments, including retailers such as Macy's, Bloomingdale's, McDonald's, Subway, and much more. Android Pay will also be available in-app from developers selling physical goods and services to help you speed through the checkout process. So leading developers like Lyft and Grubhub and Groupon and more will be offering Android Pay in their app soon. So we're at the start of an exciting journey. We believe the same partnership model that fueled Android's growth from a single device 7 years ago to now more than a billion users will enable Android Pay to be successful too. And we're working closely with payment networks, banks, and developers to bring mobile.
How is this substantively different from wallet?
The rollout starting
not functionally.
It's not functionally, right?
So it's really rebranding to make it sound like Apple Pay.
Yeah.
Okay. just want to check.
Android Pay gets even better.
I mean, I can do all that stuff he outlined with my Google Wallet and my NFC on my phone now. Yeah.
It sounds like just better availability to developers.
Right.
For in-app payments.
Right. Fingerprint support is important. Of course, it exists on some phones, but having it in the OS makes a big difference. And that, of course, makes it work with Pay.
Sensors and devices and exposes a standard API to developers.
Yep.
So what does this mean?
This was expected.
For one, in M, you can use your fingerprint to authorize Android Pay transactions. So let's take a look at this in action. The user simply touches the fingerprint sensor, which unlocks the phone. The phone will then make a secure NFC exchange.
Looks a lot like Apple Pay.
Yeah.
And then the payment goes through, and you get the Android Pay notification of the transaction at the top.
But again, this is very similar to Wallet. Having fingerprint is great.
Yeah.
I can't remember if Wallet integrates with fingerprint on the S6. It
might. Or make Play Store purchases. Most importantly, any app developer can make use of the new APIs at fingerprints to their own apps. And we've been working with lots of our app partners.
LastPass already works with the fingerprint on Galaxy.
The feedback
phones.
Has been overwhelmingly positive. So, for example, let's take a look at the new Target app, which is aiming to release later this year. Now, the user has previously associated their username and password credentials with their fingerprint. And that's a simple and popular design pattern we're seeing with app developers. Now, when the user wants to purchase something, they just present their fingerprint like so, and it will process the payment. Super easy.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that was a very nice experience.
Yeah.
So let's talk about another big area where we've improved in M, and that's power. Now, Android has always enabled true multitasking as an open platform for developers. And people love that about Android. But in making the platform exceptionally flexible, there's a trade-off in data freshness and battery, especially if the user installs hundreds of applications. So in the spirit of improving the core experience, we're changing Android and M to be smarter about managing power through a new feature we call Doze. Now, many of us have bursty usage patterns with our devices, especially with tablets. For example, you might leave your tablet on your coffee table or your nightstand all day.
This is the consolidating of wake locks that I thought they were doing in Lollipop and maybe even earlier.
Significant motion detection to learn if a device has been left unattended for an extended period of time.
Oh, that's clever.
It will very nice.
Back off background activity to go into a deeper sleep state. So what we're doing is we're trading off a little bit of app freshness
when you
for
sleep,
longer
it does.
Battery life.
That's good.
And we call it dozing because while the device is asleep, it's still possible for the device to trigger real-time alarms or to respond to incoming chat requests.
This is a significant difference between iOS and Android. So backgrounding in iOS really means after 10 minutes the app is gone. Push doesn't really work well with iOS apps. Only the Apple apps can stay away. But on Android, apps have always been able to kind of receive
notifications. Everything keeps going all the time.
Right. He says it's going to double a Nexus 9.
Wow. That's good, because that was one of the big complaints, course, right?
No matter how much better
well,
we
the next, I've been happy with the Nexus 9 battery, later, but extended use, so I'm starting to see some wear on it, so getting an extended
so
would be great.
Involved in creating a new USB Type-C.
Oh, this is in... Oh.
And Type-C ushers in a new way of charging that works across hardware.
I would love...
Tablets, laptops, and everything in between. And it means we're going to start seeing really fast charging of devices.
That is a Type-C connector on an Android phone, and I like it.
Yeah, me too.
Yep.
And of course, USB Type-C connectors are flippable, and hence much more mobile-friendly and durable. No more grappling to find the right direction for the charging plug.
Oh, my.
That's nice.
Very. I was hoping this would happen, and I hope all the manufacturers
adopt
this.
So we've been working with device manufacturers to bring
Type-C
devices to
market. Throw out all your chargers, everybody.
Once, the last time. This is it. You're never going to... No, that's not true.
Never again.
Release adds the ability to select whether you want...
I don't know what this means in the EU, because, of course, the EU requires micro-USB on all phones.
So that's Type-C.
I imagine they're working with the EU.
Is this really revolutionary, though? I mean, if the kernel supports Type-C...
There are
and the manufacturer puts in a Type-C component,
peppered throughout the
it should be supported. I mean, this isn't really...
Well, in the EU, the issue is, of course,
So for example,
proprietary.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And Apple gets around that by offering an adapter with every phone. Type-C could be revolutionary because, remember, it's more than power. It's everything.
It's everything.
It's a very fast, better
bus. I'm a big believer in Type-C. I'm just not a big believer that Android's doing anything really special here to enable
Maybe not, yeah. I would hope the phones would support, you know, USB to Ghost type functionality, video functionality. It could make that port really fabulous.
Yeah. Most frequently and make those available with just a single click. And if you weren't a big fan of the volume control changes in Lollipop, hands up, who weren't fans of the Lollipop changes? Okay. The good news is we simplified those.
Second verse, same as the first.
And as an example of the little details we polished and obsessed over, we've added a drop-down to control the volume of individual audio streams.
Yay. That's what people really want.
Yes, right? I want it.
Okay. Yeah.
It's also the star and the various icons are confusing.
Oh, yeah.
But we're excited to be able to share an initial developer preview today with the Nexus 5, 6, 9, and Player.
Good.
And we'd love your feedback on the new features and APIs
player, that's
to
good.
Help us get the platform ready for official release in Q3. So that's it.
Q3,
we're working
official
incredibly
release.
Hard to produce our most
that's
polished
soon.
Android release to date.
We're in just beginning Q2 a couple of days,
we also
so
have some
3 months.
Really exciting new
3 to 6
developments enabled by AMP. For example, with Google Now, which you'll hear about a little
bit. Bring the volume up a little bit on the
And so with that, let me hand over
keynote.
To David
Thank
to
you.
Give you an update on Android Wear. Thank you.
That was some good stuff.
They didn't say Milky Way, though, but I think Aaron's right on it.
Yeah. They're holding back that
as they did last year.
Yeah, yeah. They waited for some reason.
They've always.
You think they'd do that up front?
Incredible.
Yeah. We're introducing Milky Way.
And from the very beginning,
just teasing
they've inspired artists and engineers to come together and create. And with Android Wear, we're taking a similar path. We're partnering with companies all over the world to create beautiful, useful devices. And the result is choice.
Whoop.
Earlier this morning, you heard about a growing set of watches, straps, and watch faces. And in fact, there are now over 1,500 watch faces available for Android Wear. And
compared
we're thrilled
to, what,
by
seven
all the ways that you can
Apple
express your style.
Watch.
In parallel, and for the past year,
Urbane.
We've been making key platform investments to enable truly useful wearable apps. And that's what I want to talk to you about.
I told you not to walk there.
right
months,
out of the light.
We've launched four major OS releases.
I wonder if there's like a pole
in
front of the spotlight.
users and developers alike.
He's a walker. We got a walker.
Like GPS, offline music, and Wi-Fi. We're making your watch more useful for you, even when you don't have your phone.
New launcher, emoji recognizer.
Party watch faces. Not only enable you to express
those wrist gestures are awesome.
Yeah,
provide all sorts.
The emoji recognizer is kind of silly. You draw the emoji and
oh, then it figures
it's kind of buried too.
I hadn't heard about that one.
Yeah, it's on the Urbane. I'll show you.
Provide the flexibility you need.
All of that's on the Urbane.
Technology that you actually wear. And
that's
perhaps the best part. Every time we make these improvements, we're able to push them to existing watches. So when you buy an Android Wear watch, you know it will keep getting better over time. Today, we're evolving Android Wear even further, and we're taking our inspiration from something we already do on our watches, and that's checking the time. Checking the time is pretty cool. You can just look at your wrist and make a decision.
That's got to be one of the quotes of the whole event.
Checking
the time is pretty cool.
Actionable and effortless. And that's at the cornerstone.
It is true that the Apple Watch goes dark no matter what you do if you don't flick it.
Our latest release of Android Wear, which is rolling out over the next few weeks, brings this approach to even more parts of the experience.
My Urbane is always, it has a low power mode, but it's always got time. And it doesn't hurt the battery.
Let us show you a few examples.
So I can check the time.
Right.
Cool, huh?
Yeah.
Android Wear watches include
can't do that on an old-fashioned watch.
Meaning you can see the time all the time.
Always on.
There's no need to tap.
That's a Gear Watch R, I think.
To wake up the display.
Or is it a? Yeah, that's a Gear Watch R.
In our latest release, we've brought this ability to apps as well, so you can always see useful information at a glance, while also saving on battery. We call this Always On apps. So if you're
grocery that's shopping, interesting.
You can wear your shopping list on
oh,
your wrist.
Oh, nice!
I like it.
Once Jeff has found the tomatoes, he can walk all the way to the dairy section.
Because he knows what's
happening. That's the old version. Black and
white. Yeah, it's the same with the watch faces.
Black and white mode. Or if you're walking around a new neighborhood.
It's particularly valuable on the Urbane, which is an OLED. The LG watches are OLED, and of course, black doesn't use any power at all on OLEDs.
Just to get back to the map.
That's nice. Yeah, I've really enjoyed that in the Urbane.
It's always just a glance away. The latest release of Android Wear also lets you interact with your watch in new ways that feel natural on your wrist. For example, Jeff can scroll up and down through his notifications.
That's
using
useful if you're holding onto a Subway strap or riding a Segway. But
it's pretty cool, and it's
where
really
you need your
helpful.
Hand free.
Not if you're drinking your coffee in the same way.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. Operating power tools is a bad scenario.
Yeah.
And if you're chatting with a friend, like Jeff is here, using Facebook Messenger, the latest version of Android Wear now lets you draw and send emojis.
Yeah. See how buried it is.
So
you can finally get to it.
He sketches this cocktail glass. The watch recognizes it automatically.
Okay.
They're applauding that. Well, okay.
It's kind of people love
cool.
Emoji.
I mean, I don't know who will use it.
I've had it. Again, the Urbane came with all this.
Phone, computer, or watch.
The kids love the emoji.
I've used it once.
Android Wear now puts all your apps and contacts at your fingertips in the new launch.
That's kind of a response to Apple, isn't it? The idea of drawing something.
You can start an app, start communicating with a friend, or ask a question. Right there.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, wearable apps should be glanceable, actionable, and effortless. Just like checking.
So this is just going over what's existing today.
New platform came right?
This is I don't know which apps currently have the ambient mode or the always-on mode.
We're seeing lots of
Google's
great
Fit
examples
does not.
Of this from developers.
Let me look at Keep.
So let's take a look at some of the apps launching in the near future. Foursquare, for instance, uses geofencing and in-context notifications to suggest the ideal entree to you when you walk into a new restaurant.
I love Foursquare on my
Moto
360.
With the new always-on feature, apps like City Mapper.
Oh, City Mapper's awesome.
It's the Eric Schmidt vision of
as long as you're going to need
knowing
it.
When you need pants and then telling you you're near a pants
right.
store.
And I request a ride from Uber by saying, okay, Google, call a car.
Or better yet, you're in the store. Where are the pants I was looking for online yesterday? Oh, they're right over here.
We know
that's where Tango would be.
Yes. Technology is evolving fast.
Those in-store
today's
maps.
Devices include everything from accelerometers and heart rate monitors.
I don't think there's a haptic motor in my
current
Wear watch.
GPS and Wi-Fi. And we have enabled apps to make
buzzes.
Full use of these capabilities too.
Oh yeah, there's so the ambient mode
aware,
in the Keep, just like he mentioned. So certain apps have ambient.
That's cool.
Itself, enabled,
giving you deep interactive experiences on your wrist. Google Fit, for instance,
there is a vibrator in the 360.
Interprets
okay.
that sensor data
I just,
to recognize
I guess
walking,
I forgot.
Running, and cycling, as well as squats, sit-ups, and push-ups automatically.
You can do it.
If golf is more your thing,
I like Google Fit.
Golf Swing Analyzer.
Yeah, I've used it more and more. Of course, every watch, Moto and LG, have their own Fit app.
But an angle of your swing.
Yeah, I've stuck to Google Fit as well.
Yeah. It's pretty complete.
Yeah. If you started using it recently, and I've been surprised at how good the recognition is.
Yeah.
Using the watch.
Although I think it told my wife she was rowing a boat for
Android Wear app.
30 minutes the other day. I was like, what?
If that feels like it.
Come from rowing a boat.
I don't know if total accuracy is its biggest selling point for me. It's just always, it's just working. It's just always working. And I don't have to think about it.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
It frankly duplicates almost all the functionality of any fitness band.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. Fitbit or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Except for the sleep stuff.
And on your way home, you'll be able to adjust your living room temperature with Nest. Honestly, if you can dream it, you can build it.
Oh, boy.
And our developer community
if you build
is
it,
really delivering.
They will wear it.
Today, we're happy to announce that there are already more than 4,000 apps built specifically
that's
for Android
impressive.
Wear.
That's pretty impressive. Yeah.
Look at all those
icons.
Yeah,
that's icons. A good number. I feel like this guy totally put on his developer suit to get on stage today.
That's
I like
hoodie.
That.
Hoodie. Got the hoodie.
I mean, I can't talk because I've got one on too, but I'm sitting at home and coding today. I'm not getting up on stage in front of thousands of developers.
Ultimately, Android Wear is about choice. Your choice of powerful developer APIs, your choice of watches, your choice of straps and apps. together with manufacturers,
straps and apps,
chip makers,
what's wrong with her
developers
hand?
And
what's wrong with her
brands?
Arm?
That's weird.
This
Photoshop
Android campaign, yeah, I mean, it's a great campaign, but it's super styly model-ish. Like, yeah. I wish it felt a little bit more real. I mean, I love the dancing and like the models are great, but it's a little too photoshopped.
And build what you want, and with Android Wear, you can. Thank you.
There was nothing new in that, though.
No, it was all existing
stuff.
There was
nothing.
It was basically what the Urbane does.
Yeah.
And I presume
the timeline went to May, right?
I wish they'd say when other watches are going to get 5.1.
Right.
Yeah, that was a recap.
What's fascinating is that when you take a traditional device like a watch and you add computing and connectivity and a layer of intelligence to it, you end up transforming that experience.
Not to mention time-checking ability.
Wouldn't it be great if
that's
you could
cool.
do that?
You got to admit, that's cool.
Here's the home.
More
here you go, Aaron.
Devices that you run into in your day-to-day life. Things like parking meters, washing machines, airport kiosks. If we could get physical devices and connect them in a smart way to the internet, we think we can transform the experience for users. We call this the Internet of Things. And there are a whole range of possibilities you can imagine. The most common thing that gets talked about is the smarter home. Imagine you're driving in, your garage door, your lighting, your blinds, your music, all working together to create a better home. Maybe save energy in the process. But the possibilities go well beyond that. You can imagine a farmer managing the entire farm from her smartphone. The security cameras, the sensors, the irrigation equipment, all of them can be connected so that it works better together. A city's public transportation system, buses, bus schedules, parking spots, you could manage traffic, maintenance, and create a much better experience for people living in the city. So we see a range of
thinking Farmville in real life. It's just the Farmville game that you're playing. Actually, the tractors are actually moving out in the fields,
like smart light bulbs,
doing what you tell them to do.
It's really hard for device manufacturers. Just like in the early days of smartphones, you don't know exactly how to build your software stack. Developers don't know how to target these experiences. And finally, for users, it is really confusing to make all of this work together. We are fortunate to have Nest. Nest has been working hard at taking traditional devices in the home.
Just a quick reminder that our coverage today is brought to you by Braintree, BraintreePayments.com/ yes, Android Pay.
So we have worked
Braintree will, in fact, allow you to integrate Android Pay into your mobile app, along with Apple Pay, PayPal, Bitcoin, Bitcoin, Venmo, everything, cards, of course. Check out the Braintree V.0 SDK at BraintreePayments.com/AndroidPay. And for your first $50,000 in transactions, fee-free, go to BraintreePayments.com/twit.
And finally, for users, it has to be a simple and elegant experience. So I'm very excited to announce today, we are announcing Project Brillo, which is the underlying operating system
also rumored.
For the Internet of Things.
Yep.
Yep.
Project Brillo.
Brillo is derived from Android, but we have taken Android and polished it down, hence the name Brillo. This is basically the lower layers of Android. The kernel,
so it was named after a steel wool pad.
Yeah.
Okay, well,
now we know why.
Polished it down.
I was wondering where that came from. Why Brillo? It doesn't make any sense. But
well,
because it's derived from Android, you get full operating system support. Things like connectivity. You have
and
Wi-Fi.
Really not the best image.
No, not at all.
And working with Nest, we are adding support for alternative connectivity like...
So it is an Android-based OS.
Which means it's Linux-based.
Security from the ground up, and given it's based on Android, you get immediate
and it's cross-platform,
scale. Many
right?
device
mm-hmm.
manufacturers.
That's, of course, why you would use Android. You want to get.
In addition, we
as they say, broad silicon
device manufacturers
support.
Can manage it from a centralized management console. They can provision these devices. They can update them and so on. So it's an end-to-end functioning operating system. The next step is what we call as Weave. Weave is the communication
that's Weave,
layer
W-E-A-V.
By which Internet of Things can actually talk to each other. You need a common language, a shared understanding, so that devices can not only talk to each other and to the cloud. And
is this at the Zigbee Z-Wave level?
That's what I'm
wondering. What we are doing is we have standardized schemas schemas are nothing but a semantic like schemas. Blueprint yeah. for yeah. all these devices to have a
it's
common
a communications
language.
Protocol.
Yeah.
For example,
so it is. It's C-Wave
a camera
ZB.
Can define mm-hmm. what does it mean to say take a picture, and all devices around it can understand that. Mm. A door mm-hmm. lock can define lock and unlock as two phrases which all other devices in that ecosystem can understand
oh,
and work with each other.
So we're putting together something similar to this in our makerspace right now with door automatic door locks, power systems that don't turn on if you haven't been trained on that device, things like that. This would be fantastic because I'm going through the code right now and it's a pain in the butt.
Available cross-platform. So you can use this as a modular approach. You can have Brillo and Veeve together, or you can run Veeve on top of your existing stack. And the powerful thing is Veeve exposes developer APIs in a cross-platform way. So if you're writing a recipe application on your smartphone, the actual application can now turn on your smart oven, set it to the right temperature, right? And any connected device, your oven can be voice-enabled easily because we provide voice APIs as part of this.
Wow.
The final thing we are doing is getting the user interface right. So because this is built into Android, any Android device will recognize other device based on Brillo or Veeve. And as a user, you get the same standardized setup for any connected device.
Nice.
You open up your phone, we detect it, you choose the device, and set up the right owners, and you're good
to go. So is this a mesh network? I would guess with the name Weave, it must
be.
Yeah,
it must be.
Yeah.
That is really
Wi-Fi.
Cool.
Wi-Fi.
This is the beginning of the journey. Just
maybe
like
both.
We've done Android for smartphones, we are doing this for the entire ecosystem together. Brillo goes into developer preview in Q3 of this year. And we are going to announce documentation throughout the year, and we are working with developers, and the full stack will be ready to go by Q4 of 2015. Oh,
wow.
And so we are very excited that for the first time, we are bringing a comprehensive end-to-end solution.
I've always thought that one of the big players should be the one that announces a standard, open standard that others can adhere to.
Yep.
No licensing,
You've
no cost, well-supported, and it sounds like that's what this is.
That's really what IoT has been missing, has been a standard base that everyone can work off of. So.
Connected devices and how the phone is...
Google's in a position to do that. It sounds promising.
Frankly, only Google. Apple's going to do a proprietary solution.
Yep. Talk about
Facebook, Microsoft, they're all going to be proprietary.
Google doesn't really have necessarily a preferred hardware platform, so it makes sense for them to do this, you know? Let everybody develop to it, just like they've done with Android Wear.
Organize the world's information and make it universally accessible and useful. And we've been doing that for a while. Think about how far search has evolved from the 10 blue links. If you're on a modern mobile phone, you can ask...
That's probably Google
like,
internal jargon, the 10 blue links,
like?
The original search interface.
And you get the answer instantly on your smartphone for your Muppets fans out there. In fact, you can even ask, what does Kermit the Frog... How do you say Kermit the Frog in Spanish?
Whoops. Oh, good. That was nice. It ignored that first clause. Kermit la rana.
This, query, what
this is
like
canned.
Simple query,
yeah, obviously.
it's actually a good thing he said the right thing eventually.
Eventually.
He corrected himself. He saw it on the slide.
Right,
that
right.
His line.
It would have given it away.
And making it all work.
He did anyway.
The reason we are able to do all of this is thanks to the investments we have made in machine learning. Machine learning is what helps us answer the question, what does the tree frog look like from millions of images around the world? The computers can go through a lot of data and understand...
That's interesting. Even Flickr can do this. This
is
not,
tree frog
is
actually the
as, I guess, as hard as it used to be.
The reason we are able to do that so much
better
in the last
now.
Few years is thanks to an advanced...
Brillo is a Spanish word that means shine, I'm told. Thank you. Gender Q.
Learning system. So we learn in layers.
So it isn't a trademark.
The first layer can understand lines and edges and shadows and shapes. A second layer may understand things like ears, legs, hands, and so on. And the final layer understands the entire image. We have the best investment in machine learning over the past many years, and we believe we have the best capability in the world. Our current deep neural nets are over 30 layers deep. It is what helps us. When you speak to Google, our word error rate has dropped from 23% to 8% in just over a year. And that progress is due to our investment in machine learning.
Yeah, I've been using OK Google a lot, and I haven't seen many errors recently at all.
Uses type queries like sunsets and lightning we return the exact
very, very frightening
users instantly. This insight is what we will use to help organize users.
I'm confusing music nerds and geeks and tech geeks.
As a next step,
thank you.
We want to take all the
pronounced brio
we have made and
brio.
In the context of mobile,
brio.
Being a whole lot more assistive to users. We want to give users this information even before they know they need it. We want to give it to them in context. If you take a product like Google Inbox, and you're planning a trip to London, we bring together all the information in one place, and it is waiting, ready to go for you.
That's anybody
all
use
the
Inbox?
Details to do with
I do.
London.
You do? Really?
Google
it's
now.
Great.
I actually use it on the desktop.
Really?
That's how much I'm invested in it.
I used it a few times and I gave up. It didn't work for me.
If you reach the airport,
well, I was already using Google's automatic categorization in Gmail.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a natural extension of that.
In mobile, the need is even greater. You're deluged with a lot of information on your phones. Even a simple use case, like if someone pings me and says, can we meet at the restaurant I emailed you about? I need to open my email, search for it, figure out a way to book that all while I'm on the go. Small use case, but every
Feld in our chat room is pointing out they need a snappy name.
So we are working hard.
You've got Cortana, you've got Siri, you've got Alexa.
To talk
Google
about
Now, is that what we call it? You need a name.
Yeah. From the Google Now
you need to personify it.
I don't think anyone's ever texted me, do you want to go to the restaurant I emailed you about? But okay.
Your smartphone ought to be smart.
Here we go. Google Now.
Why can't it tell you where you parked your car? Why can't it remind you to pick up the milk that your spouse texted you about? And in fact, why can't it figure out that you're flying to New York in 2 months?
I think,
and you should call your college roommate and you
despite the creepy line and privacy concerns, everybody I know wants Google Now to do more.
These are the kind of crazy questions.
Certainly I do.
Got us started on Google Now. As Sundar talked about, we're working hard to figure out how we can assist users in a mobile world. Since we first launched, we brought more and more useful information to you. The last train home in Tokyo. A new open house in your neighborhood.
I haven't seen that one
and
yet.
Yes. Even a reminder for where you parked your car.
That I do.
Yeah, I get
and
that.
I love.
Yeah.
Today, I'm going to talk to you about the progress we've made and what's coming next. So look, to assist you, we need to be able to do three things really well.
Read your email.
One, understand your context.
Read your email.
And three, help you take action. Get stuff done. So let's talk about the first thing.
Context.
Now, context has multiple dimensions. Where you are, what you're doing.
Okay, location.
And what you care about.
Email.
And in different contexts, you need different things. Say you're at Disneyland, the information that you need, how long are the lines, what are the most popular rides, how do you deal with a six-year-old on a sugar rush, how do you deal with it? It's very different from, say, you're vegging out on a lazy Sunday.
Some actual humor, that's good.
But you know, context
I'm sorry,
is
I missed
also
it.
About
what?
Getting what you're saying.
So how do you deal with this six-year-old on a sugar high?
How long does it take to get
I'm guessing she has a six-year-old.
Yeah.
When does my flight leave? And we've made some great progress here. We have built up a natural language understanding engine, like Sundar talked about. But we've also built up this powerful context engine. And we understand more than 100 million places. Not just their physical layout and geometry, but also interesting things like when are they busy, when are they open, and what are you likely to need when you're there? Once we understand context, we then want to proactively bring
you. Use that all the time in Google Maps, by the way.
You're on your way to the airport.
I want
to
know when somebody's open.
You
used to go to the store website and try to find the store.
Much easier.
You search for the, when is the store open?
Yeah.
Oh, I just pull up Google Maps all the time. I don't even need to know how to get there. I just want to know when they're open. Is this restaurant open today? Google Maps.
So how do we do this? This is where Google's knowledge graph comes in pretty handy. So the knowledge graph is Google's understanding.
I'm hearing Larry David
here. And all the things in it.
Pretty handy.
In fact, 1 billion entities. Things like baseball teams, gas stations, TV shows, cocktail recipes, the works. So this can power a lot of useful answers for you. We talked about context. We talked about answers. The third thing we want to be able to do, if you want to assist you, is help you take action, get stuff done. And, you know, in a mobile world, you get stuff done with apps. Play music, order a cab, buy groceries. So we just started a pilot program with over 100 partners where we proactively surface actions and information from apps in Google Now. So when you land at the airport, you can order an Uber or a Lyft.
Well, this is another thing that's already been announced.
This is live now.
Yeah, this isn't new.
This is my favorite. You can reorder groceries instantly with a Now card.
I feel like maybe she's laying the groundwork and going to hit us with something new.
You're talking about this is the application integration that Google announced.
Yeah, these are the enhanced cards to other applications.
But it was in beta, and it wasn't everybody who saw it. So it's still something.
Yeah, pilot with 100 partners.
Right.
And we asked ourselves, how can we get you quick answers to quick questions without leaving context? How can we help you get things done?
You're watching live coverage of Google's I.O. keynote for 2015, brought to you by Braintree Payments. Thank them for their support. BraintreePayments.com/twit to add Android Pay to the list of payments you can accept in your mobile app. Android Pay, PayPal, Apple Pay, Bitcoin, Venmo, credit cards, and more. BraintreePayments.com/twit. And to find out more about the Android Pay platform, BraintreePayments.com/AndroidPay.
So now on tap, as Dave mentioned,
tap.
Takes advantage of new functionality in the Android
now
app release.
On
it'll be rolling
tap.
Out in M. And I want
this
to give you a
M.
quick preview of what it looks like, what it can do for you when you turn the feature on. So I have Neil up here with me. Hot off the press demo. So you want to see it in action? Yes? All right. Let's do it.
Live demo. So live demo time.
Live demo.
Wasn't he in One Direction, that guy?
And you wonder, like me, doing
the
what
demo?
Is his real
no?
name?
Oh.
Okay, Google.
Sorry, I'm not that much of
what's
a music
What's his real name?
What's his real name?
Skrillex's full name is Sonny John Moore.
Wow.
Who knew?
So it knew you were listening to Skrillex, who is apparently now quick in-house at Google.
A quick question without having to switch context.
So in-context voice actions.
His real name. Now, it's obviously
it
you and me
it
who
knows what you're listening to.
They previewed this last year a little bit, right? I think she used the example, you know, take me home or I want to go home or something, and
like
it figured out
where home is.
Where home was. So they're just really building on this, which is great.
Bringing you answers proactively. So let's
well, they've, you know,
example.
Maybe 2 years ago showed search,
so here,
subsequent
you
searches, knowing what your
Ali
premier
about catching a movie.
Prior search was.
I don't know much about the movie. I want to find out more. So all I have to do is a simple tap and hold on the home button.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's
okay.
Cool.
Now tell me Google doesn't read your email.
There we go. Well,
that's
at least they're being more
cool.
obvious about it.
Yeah, right. It's in the email app. Oh, yeah. You're talking about Tomorrowland. I heard that.
And it's anticipating what your next action would be. It's like, what is the movie? I want to look at the trailer. Right. I want to go buy tickets. You know, like, that's really cool.
Actors, actresses, et cetera. Now, the reviews.
So this puts Now in everywhere, right? Puts it
Let's
kind of integrates Now into your apps.
George Clooney, so I'm going
to
watch
Instead
it.
Instead of exiting an app to do Now, you're there.
But, you know, you can easily watch the trailer on YouTube. You can check out the cast list on IMDb or the Rotten Tomatoes score on
That's
Flixster.
The more below that.
I want to show you another example.
I presume you'd be able to do that
take
chat.
Action in the moment with Now on tap.
Yeah, I'm so anticipating time, the privacy hawks. Jumping all over this in the blogs.
So, by the way, Now on Tap works
Today
in a variety of apps.
It does work
the
in
the app
chat.
Itself doesn't have to make any modifications. It's pretty nice.
Oh,
so in this
oh,
case,
so this is not Hangouts.
See a message from your husband
no,
about dinner plans.
And the app doesn't have to know about it because Google's reading so everything
right.
on the screen.
Yeah, they're monitoring.
Wow,
with a
that is a little much.
Hold on the home button, you get help.
That's
so,
cool.
So they're saying that app is Viber. Which is a direct competitor to Google Hangouts.
But I want to point out a couple Google. Things going on here. Oh. So first, just like the movie, you saw nice information, instant
Kudos
information.
Kudos to Google for using non-Google apps as part of their demos. That's that's
makes
cool.
sense.
I feel like I should say this is okay with me, though. Like, this is a little weird. Google, I gave Google permission to look at my Google stuff, right? But maybe not my WhatsApp or my...
Right.
I don't know.
But yeah, I wonder how people are going to react to that. Yeah. It's very convenient.
Yeah, if it's enhancing your experience, if it's helping you use the apps better, then, you know, why not?
I think they're depending on the fact that people will just kind of intuitively say, oh, I'm reading it, so my phone knows about it.
Let's look at what
As opposed to
here.
The fact of it, which is
so
that Google must now be looking at all the content
Google
of your
now,
in every screen. Yeah,
not just screens, right? It would have to.
This must be an option that we're featuring.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah,
turn this off. Hopefully by application.
Yeah.
But as you might
I want to use it for Gmail. I don't want to use it for whatever.
It's also apps. So what does it mean for developers? Yep. This is a new way that you can reach and re-engage with users when you're relevant to users in the moment.
But this would not be permission apps-based permissions in the app because the app doesn't have to know about it. This would have to be a system-level permission.
We took you right to the specific
this has got to be a setting in Google Now. Enable on tap. Or
whatever. And I want to show you a quick, subtle but cool thing while we're here. So let's switch to the menu.
She's looking at Open Table now.
That second dish there sounds good.
But what is it?
Kind of hard to pronounce for me. And but I want to see how it looks like.
Okay, Google. Show me pictures of Spinaco Tiro Pizza.
Wow.
Wait a minute. Who was that? Wait a minute. Who was that?
That was the
One Direction kid doing the demo.
We also had trouble pronouncing it clearly.
Okay.
But...
So if I can't pronounce it, I can't ask about it.
Google Now was able to recognize it.
What if you mispronounce it?
Google I would probably bring mispronounce in an interpreter to pronounce it.
It's not just apps, though.
It looks
now
good, though.
Now can assist you in the moment, even when you're on the web. So for this last example, let's switch to Chrome.
It up, but okay.
I do, too. That's kind of weird.
Here's an article about Hugh Laurie heading to Veep.
Oh, yeah. He's
my
good
favorite
in Veep.
TV show. I know a lot about Veep, way more than I should, really. But not a lot about you.
We all get one member of One Direction to keep us going. Your choice.
At the keyboard,
I'll take Harry.
I can tap on Hugh. And I get information about
you. Tap on Hugh.
Pretty cool.
Wait a minute.
She tapped on the image or the words?
She tapped on the name, the text in the article.
The text.
Google reads everything.
But the nice thing here is that you could get information instantly.
Spani
in all these examples, the article
from our Greek audience member,
you're listening to,
Mark Kunalis.
The message you're replying
Spani
to.
The kupita.
Key is understanding the context. Ooh.
Oh, Jason, you're Greek.
Yeah, and I approve.
He approves. Spani kupita.
Now has that understanding. It's able to get you quick answers to quick questions.
I always say
help you get things
cool.
done wherever you are on the phone. And for developers, like we said, it's a new way for you to reach and re-engage with users.
Spani.
We'll share a lot more details over the next few months.
That's the way I always say it.
A quick preview of
that's how I say it.
Yeah, so we're right.
Because I love it. Give me more. No pixels visible in the audience.
When it comes to mobile, there's another key area. Where users need a lot of assistance managing a lot of information.
This looks great. I can't wait to get that. That's going to be part of Android M.
To tell you about how we are applying machine learning and intelligence to that critical area.
Now on tap.
I'm going to hand it off to Anil. Thank you.
So that's the Google Now portion of our presentation. You're watching live coverage of the Google I.O. keynote. Now we talk about the new Photos app.
My eldest daughter, Ava, graduated from preschool.
This was predicted.
Yeah,
it was a pretty fun day.
Yeah, this was the most
we wanted to capture the
complete
moment.
Leak. From
so my wife took some photos, 312 to be exact. I only took 237 photos and 56 videos.
Do the math.
Sundar mentioned the information challenge we have on mobile, and I'm sure all of us can relate. I mean, how incredible is it that we all have a camera in our pockets everywhere we go? Ready to capture any moment.
Mm-hmm.
Think about the moments in your life and the photos and videos you've taken. The big moments. The small moments.
The thing, that was controversial about this is this is apparently a mobile app that is being extracted from
These
Google Plus.
These moments tell your story.
Pitching the Google Plus capabilities. The question is whether it will remain in Google Plus.
Photos and videos would make it easier to relive the moments.
Google does a great job, I think, with photos.
Absolutely.
Their acquisition of Nick Software has given them some really powerful stuff. Snapseed and Nick app is great. And I love Google Plus for photos.
Scrolling.
Remember they also bought Picasa. Created Picasa Web.
One photo that we want.
Online photo sharing
what
site.
If we could use Google's
which was replaced by Google Plus.
To help people take back control of their digital lives. And that's why I'm thrilled to be here to introduce a brand new product, Google Photos.
There you go. And by the way, that's the icon used currently for the Google Now Gallery.
I was going to say, that's the current icon. I've got an Apple Photos on my phone.
An entirely new experience.
Right now, it's they're pulling a link to your gallery in Google Plus.
Right.
Three big ideas. First, a home for all your photos and videos. A private and safe place to keep a lifetime of memories. Available from any device. Fast, intuitive, and beautiful. Second,
in fact, if you launch that app, you go, you get the Google Plus menu as part of the app. You're essentially
in Google Plus.
It's a link to the photos page of Google Plus.
Exactly.
That's obviously going to change.
They said from any device. That means there's going to be a separate photos app for your PC.
Sharing should be simple and reliable.
Or iOS.
Or iOS.
That's a big question.
Yeah.
There isn't currently.
Easy to hold on to the photos and videos you care about.
Photos.google.com is currently saying something's developing. Stay tuned, but that will be the URL.
Get it developing.
I'd like to introduce David Leeb, our product mastermind, who's going to be helping me with the demo today.
Oh, so what band's he in, huh?
Yeah.
I think he's a Hozier member.
This is a pretty cool moment. And as
maybe
you
Mumford
and I
Sons.
All know, the only way to do a moment like this, true justice, is to take a selfie.
Oh, bring out the selfie stick.
Selfie stick. Selfie stick.
No, they're doing it the old-fashioned way.
Doing the old-fashioned way.
All right.
I see arm. I
now
see
that we
arm.
Have that out of the way. Let's open up.
Pump
the
up
new
that volume
Google
on the keynote, if you would, Jason.
You can see the photo we just took is at the top, and it's already been safely backed up.
Same interface.
Google Photos automatically backs up from your phone, tablet, computer, and even your camera memory cards. We can also sync all your photos and videos with Google Drive. Now remember, here Dave has my phone, and we're looking at my account. These are all my personal photos and videos, so you're about to learn a whole lot about me. So what does a lifetime of photos and videos look like? Well, in Google Photos, it's everything in one place.
This looks the same,
no matter
right?
What
yeah, so far nothing really yeah. different.
I can easily jump to any moment in time, all the way back to my earliest photos. I can view my memories across days, but with a simple pinch.
Ah, that's nice.
Months,
that's good.
That's
and
nice.
Again,
kind of apple-y.
Okay, that's nice. Very nice.
My wife will like that. She's
Let's
always scrolling to find a picture.
Back to when I took that road trip across Canada. Again, using a very simple pinch gesture, I can go all the way back in.
Yeah, so this is basically a functionality in the iPhone.
Look how smooth that is, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder
Every
if it's going to be this smooth in reality.
Fast.
I mean, assuming
all these photos are
this is a live demo
fact,
from the guy that's running the,
photo in
the demo, because you can see the
That means
the touch there.
Let's flick out of this photo.
Sizing the image to match
right
the screen and
brings up my collections.
Making it
he
small.
Said,
that's what Apple's doing as well.
He just said none of these photos are local, that they're all in the cloud.
Yeah, so there's a thumbnail on this.
A home for all your memories, big and small.
I do wonder what phone he's using.
Let's talk about idea number two. Google Photos helps you organize and bring your moments to life. We want to take the work out of photos. Using machine learning, Google Photos understands what's important.
Google does this very well, I think,
automatically
already.
Organizing your memories.
I love that. The Google Plus, the stories that they put together.
Yeah.
Yeah, stories are great.
The introduction of David Hasselhoff into select photos.
And things that matter the most.
It's obviously got a lot of power. Ah, interesting. So categorization here.
I like
people,
that.
People, places, and things.
Yeah. That's actually better than what Flickr's doing, which is saying, you know, here's a picture. Here's all your pictures of walls.
Right.
They're very granular. This is good.
And it's for my eyes only.
I have to emphasize
Let's
that.
Let's tap on my face. Notice that the selfie we just
face recognition
is already in here, instantly grouped with all the other photos.
So that wasn't from tagging. That was face recognition.
This is very Picasso-like. Picasso had this face recognition.
Yeah, it did.
And as you can see, we make it easy to share with any of your favorite services. This is going to make an epic first tweet from our new Google Photos Twitter handle. All right. Let's have a look at all the
Truly
photos
epic.
Of my niece.
That was epic. Epic, dude.
The recent ones are at the top. And I can go back to when she was 4 years old as a flower girl at my wedding.
So it's auto-categorized his daughter, I gather.
All the way back.
That's nice.
Since she was an infant.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I envy parents today because they, you know, you're in luck. Etta, you'll have such a good documentation of Etta's life. compared to my kids, where I really didn't.
Yeah, and I won't be able to find one good photo because they're all the blurry ones for the one good one.
I remember being caught in a really bad snowstorm about 10 years ago back home. Normally, it would take me forever to find these photos.
Places.
Instead, I just tap.
So I wonder if you can fix the. I mean, if it mistakes.
Snowstorm in Toronto.
Wait a minute.
One face for another. Can you fix it?
OMG. Did you see what he just did? Snowstorm in Toronto?
Okay.
Yep. Presuming, again, he didn't tag it. That's.
It knew that the photos were in Toronto.
It knew there's snow, and these are from Toronto.
Right.
Yeah. Now that I found this memory, let's talk about how these photos helps bring these memories to life. I can easily tap the pencil, which will let me make adjustments tuned to the photo's color, lighting, and subject. Or,
let's see if they use a Snapseed interface.
Tapping the plus button, Google Photos lets me create collages, animations.
Oh, look at that.
That's nice.
And now you can create your own stories.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah. I've been wanting that for a while.
That's where they put all the women.
Yeah.
I was going to say, they obviously put them all in the same row.
That's the woman section.
A swipe to the left.
Oh, my God.
Brings up my photos assistant. Here, I will get suggestions for new creations made from my photos.
You'll sit over here if you don't mind.
I can preview and either choose to save, edit.
That's a big-ass chair.
Away. The choice is mine.
Oh, my God. There's a juggler in that chair.
Now, I think I have a video up here that I recently got after uploading all the GoPro footage some friends and I took.
Auto-created from your photos and videos.
Let's watch.
This is a little bit different than Story. This is more like Animoto or the HTC's Sense videos.
Mm-hmm.
Adds music, montages.
It would take me hours to do this myself, but Google Photos did all the hard work. If I want to make edits, it's easy to change the theme, soundtrack.
Yeah, this is what HTC was doing.
Yep.
Like this one here of me wiping out.
Don't.
I just might take that one out before I share.
You got to keep that keynote volume at a much higher level.
Three.
When we talk, obviously not.
But share and save what matters. Think of it as sharing how you want with who you want, no strings attached. For months, Dave's been asking me to share with him the photos we took from the Giants game we went to last year. So first, I'm just going to tap on that blue search button. And we're going to find the photos from the baseball game.
Is it going to say Giants or baseball? Baseball. Be cool if it knew what team
you can see I took some good shots, but I never got around to sharing them.
I have those too.
So let's select them all. Now, rather than having to do this tediously one by one by one, we've introduced a new gesture.
Oh, yeah. This was rumored as well.
To make multi-photo selection really fast. I just press and hold on one of the photos and drag my finger.
Oh, yeah.
Select them all.
Cool. Oh, baby.
Yeah, that's nice.
And the guy with glass.
So now we know of two.
That was a different guy.
Ooh, two guys with glass.
Two guys.
Share photos and videos any way you want. Now, earlier you saw me share to Twitter. But we also want to...
Jason's not wearing his glass.
...making sharing predictable
and reliable. I
doubt it.
Nor is Mike.
So in this case, I'm simply going to tap get a link. And in less than a second, I have a link to all 25 items. Now, the beauty of this is I don't have to worry about whether the recipient of the link
easy
has a
sharing.
Particular app or has a login. I can share it any way
it out of Google Plus.
Yes, you don't need the Google Plus.
Very frustrating because in the past you've had to share it on Google Plus.
What Dave sees when he clicks on that link. And remember,
this is
sharing with no strings attached.
That's great.
This is the high-quality content without needing to log in
or
download any app.
Yeah.
Nice.
All right.
That's very cool.
Yeah, very nice.
Now, in this case, because Dave is logged in, he has an extra button. And that lets him copy all of these photos and videos to his Google Photos library.
Oh, my goodness. Look at that.
Instantly.
That's cool.
That's nice. That's really nice.
This lets you hold on to the memories that matter, even when you weren't the one holding the camera. So there you have it. Google Photos... a home for all your photos and videos, organized and brought to life so that you can share and save what matters. Now, when we say a home for all your photos and videos, we want everyone to be able to safely back up and store a lifetime of memories. And that's why we're also announcing with Google Photos, you can now back up and store unlimited high-quality photos and videos for free.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
That upped the ante a little bit.
That's a game changer.
All right, so the
terabyte from Flickr.
Yeah.
Although I have to point out, a terabyte is virtually unlimited. I mean,
it is. I haven't filled up my terabyte. I upload all my photos to Flickr.
For photos and 1080p high definition for videos.
16 megapixels, that's good.
That is good.
It's not raw, and it's not, you know, full quality for
near identical visual
for the majority of people. I mean,
but for most, it's camera phone stuff, right?
Yeah. Average user isn't shooting raw.
Up to Google Photos for free.
Very few people do raw. Smug Mug's the only one that I know of. And you pay for the storage.
Notice the they're still around. Wow.
The feathers, yeah, I love water them. Droplets.
However, I think it's got to be with tough Google in the
Photos,
face of this.
You will have peace of mind that your memories are safe.
I mean, I wonder what happens to my Google storage that I paid for. I mean,
print quality resolution. Now you might
well,
be
you
asking,
use that for other things other than photos.
Yeah, but photos is probably 95% of.
Hold on, when's it available?
I'm using it for.
Is today.
It's available today.
Wow.
I'm going to get it right now.
Oh, did you see iOS?
Said yeah. iOS?
Yep.
Wow. Oh, that's a shot across Apple's bow. Yeah. Apple charges for that storage.
Starting later today on Android, iOS, and web.
And web.
Oh, good.
Well, there's no reason to pay for iCloud now.
Now, I just showed you how Google Photos is making it easier on mobile.
Economically,
to
that's a huge.
Manage the most important moments in your life. And Aparna showed you how Google Now is helping people get the information they need on mobile. Let's now take a look at how the Google Translate mobile app is connecting people across languages.
Remember, Skype now has translation. It's Microsoft's product built in.
I translate it every day.
But I have to say Google Translate is pretty amazing.
Thank you very much for your help.
What's about food?
It's pretty cool. Translates menus and signs.
Friendship.
Yeah, that visual translate is amazing.
Yeah.
Yep.
About belief.
Something they acquired.
About fear.
I love how it preserves the font on signs.
Yeah.
Yes, and the color. Yeah.
Divide. But every day, the most translated words in the world.
I love you.
Are how are you?
Oh, okay. All right, never mind.
Nice try.
I tried.
And I love you.
Okay.
Oh, see,
you're right.
Milky Way.
Aww.
How are you? And I love you. That's nice. And I am lost. That's Dr. Mom. You're right. Where the hell am I?
Dr. Mom in the chat room nailed it.
¿Dónde es los baños?
Where's the bathroom?
Hi. I'm Jen, and I'm here to talk to you today.
Hi, Jen.
About what we at Google are doing to help the next billion people come online and have a great experience doing it.
You're watching live coverage of Google I.O. from Google San Francisco. Leo Laporte with Aaron Newcomb, Ron Richards, and Gina Trapani.
All over the world. Making the world's information accessible.
Brought to you by Braintree Payments. Now incorporating Android Pay.
Right.
That's awesome. Boy, they jumped on that one.
That's why we're so excited about this powerful shift taking place right
now. Learn more at BraintreePayments.com/AndroidPay. And for your first $50,000 in transactions, fee-free, this is for you mobile developers, BraintreePayments.com/twit.
It will have a profound impact on mobile computing, both as users and as creators. And so we're thinking very carefully about how we evolve both our products and our platforms to address their particular needs. Put yourself in the shoes of someone coming online for the first time on a smartphone today.
He didn't mention whether they're extracting those features from Google Plus
on the web and in apps.
They're going to downplay that if that's true.
Yeah.
And connect to the people.
Why not leave it in? What's the cost?
But life in Sao Paulo is very different.
Just another place you can get to it.
And each country brings its own unique challenges and opportunities. The bulk of new smartphone growth over the next several years is happening in just a handful of key countries. In fact, in the next 2 years, we expect to see 1.2 billion smartphones sold across just the six countries you see here. And just in case it's not clear, this is a huge opportunity
for Android developers. India, Indonesia, Nigeria, these countries
are Android devices.
Have very low penetration for smartphones.
The vast majority of the next billion will be Android users. We're excited about what we're already seeing from the community of Android developers. Let me give you a taste of how we're working at Google to bring people online and to give them a great experience once they get there. First, we want to remove barriers to smartphone adoption. People
That's
buying
right.
devices
just paid
for
three
the first
years
time
of
in these
Flickr
markets
Pro.
Too often encounter low-quality hardware or out-of-date software.
Never pay for 3 years of anything in technology.
Jakarta or Jaipur, you'll see
advice.
A huge display of phones on sale. But not all of them are able to run the latest and greatest apps.
The awful phone buying experience.
It's all about enabling high quality and up-to-date smartphones at a great
Android
value.
One is their low end. They should just send one to everybody. Send one,
right? Carrier partners to make it possible to create these better devices. Last year, we introduced Android One in India with phones from 3 OEM partners. Now, Android One devices are available in 7 countries, including India, Nepal, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, Indonesia, the Philippines, and as of just a few weeks ago, Turkey. All this is done
for
through collaborations with more
you
than
know,
10 OEMs. And
I don't
many
think
other
Turkey would welcome
support.
Being seen as a developing
yeah,
nation.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Yeah.
We're also building support for features that are particularly useful in these emerging markets, like dual SIM cards.
I don't know how Flickr responds to this. I think SmugMug and the Pro solutions are safe.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Android One
but
phones
I
run the
don't know how Flickr responds to this.
Of Android and are among the very first to receive new versions of Android. Our hope is that Android One will continue to spur innovation across the ecosystem so that all phones...
Well, like I said, I still use Flickr, but I use it as a secondary backup, right? I mean, just in case something happens, right? I've got all my photos in Flickr. I've got
I do the
all
same
of
thing with the Microsoft OneDrive. I have all the storage there.
Yeah.
It's not bad to have it in two spots.
It's not. Especially when they're your family photos you don't want to lose. And it's relatively cheap to protect those by using another service.
I have not logged into Flickr in years.
Well, Flickr is a terabyte free. If you have a Microsoft Office subscription, it's an unlimited storage for free. The one who really hurts here, the couple are Dropbox and Apple, who are still charging a lot for cloud storage.
Yep.
Every single school day. In addition to our platforms, we're also focused on making sure our core Google apps are fast, useful, and relevant, no matter where you are in the world. We know having access to the full range of information on the internet can have a transformative impact on people's lives.
Oh, is this the bandwidth metering thing they're doing?
Man, this is just a lot of lead up.
Yeah.
Potato
yeah.
farmer in Kenya whose crops were dying.
Get to it, Jen. We're ready.
The books he had didn't give him any help. So we went to a cyber cafe.
This is the equivalent of a kind of a public service announcement. Mm-hmm. This is see the good we're doing.
Yep. Wood ash on his crops.
We're not seeing this as a lucrative market of a billion consumers who don't have phones yet. We're seeing it as helping.
Right.
And
right.
you wound up with a successful harvest.
We're connecting the world.
This is just one
we're making the world
example.
A better place.
Remember, she's also talking to developers, and this is an important message for developers.
Yeah.
We'll get you everywhere.
Everywhere for the better. Even with access to the internet, though, for many users in these fastest-growing countries, connectivity can be a real challenge. In some cases, data is just
too expensive. This is what Facebook is trying to solve with internet.org. Google has its own Loon project.
And even if you do have access to a good internet connection, data transfer is still too often intermittent or slow.
This is the subsidizing of data costs in emerging nations.
A medium-sized web page or a map, and even longer to buffer a video.
Facebook getting a lot of heat for
so with
its
this
kind
in mind,
of private
we're
version
of
the internet on internet.org.
Rethinking them in ways that work far better in a world where speed, size, and connectivity are central concerns. Let's start with Search and Chrome. Two of our foundational products that facilitate people's first experience
go back and
with the internet.
Tell you how great we are.
We saw in Indonesia that loading a search results page was often taking as long as 8.5 seconds on a 2G connection. So last October, we launched a streamlined version of our search results page. It was 10 times smaller.
With 10 blue links.
Whoa.
Since then,
see how much faster that was?
We expanded this light search results page to 13 other countries where users are often on slow connections.
Well, they took
now,
out the images,
the
right?
Loads,
and
the
buttons.
The user should be able to click on a result and load the web page quickly. But on 2G, we saw that clicking on a result could often take an average of 25 seconds and use up to a megabyte of data, which can be very expensive. We're now optimizing the resulting web pages for users on slow connections, starting in Indonesia.
Google has announced that Inbox is now open to all.
Faster,
this is not at the event, but they did that.
And most importantly, make
does it support
easier for users to find the information
apps
they want
users?
Right when they want.
No, probably
it's one
not.
Of the reasons
I
didn't use it.
Right.
Yeah, me too.
Inbox will be open to all. You don't need an invite. It will also open up Inbox to all Google for Works customers as long as your admins enable this feature.
And since
through the early adopter program starting today.
Megabyte RAM,
finally.
That's like your
They're also adding some features. If you're a frequent traveler, you'll look. This is from Google Senior Product Manager for Inbox, Shalini Agarwal, who's working overtime. Trip bundles feature will automatically organize emails for a trip into one bundle for upcoming trips. So in addition to, you know, you have social and updates and forums, you now will have trips.
Right. Extremely handy. Because you make your reservations months in advance sometimes. Yeah. It's great to have that.
Reminders will sync between Google Keep and Inbox. It's good. Keep is good, but it's not very functional, and adding functionality like that is great.
Yeah.
This
ensures that the page
is both usable. You'll also, developers will be able to embed deep links into native apps into the emails. This is what we saw with the clicking and sending to Twitter. It's a special email markup. They call it highlights.
This means that you'll be able to save any page.
The ability to recall any email within the first 10 seconds after you hit send.
In this case, a delicious recipe for
email undo.
Later.
All that means is they don't send it for 10 seconds.
Yeah. Exactly.
They're finally adding signatures to Inbox. That was one of the things that it missed.
YouTube is extremely popular around the world, especially in these growing markets.
Well, they said Google for work. They didn't necessarily say Google Apps, though.
They didn't. They said Google for
work. That's Google for work.
Yeah.
So, Google,
So that I still
in
really
Indonesia,
can't
for
use
example,
it.
YouTube creator
That's good news. Inbox getting some big features and no longer invite only.
On how to style hijab scarves. YouTube videos can require a lot of bandwidth. So we just recently launched something called YouTube Offline in India, Indonesia, the Philippines, and Vietnam. This lets you take a video offline for up to 48 hours and watch it, whether or not you've got an internet connection. We're continuing to look at ways to help video content become accessible to our growing base of YouTube mobile users around the world. Maps is another area where we're really investing in creating a better experience for the next billion users.
Any new features,
Jen? We hear wonderful stories about how maps help people in their daily lives.
It's just lightweight.
Like the story of two sisters.
This whole thing has been about
whose business was in a favela and was impossible to find.
Introspective, it seems like, so far.
So we worked to train local residents to literally put the favelas on the map.
Wow, that's a significant effort.
Many of these businesses are seeing increased sales, more people are visiting their store each day, and many are able to hire new employees, too. Most importantly, being on the map became something akin to a proof of existence for these businesses. Many of the entrepreneurs told us it gave them confidence in their business. The whole community benefited.
Favelas are essentially slums.
We're customizing the map's experience to make it work better for users' local needs. For example, we're bringing our transit experience to new places all the time. So Google Maps can now help you navigate the transit systems of Mexico City and Sao Paulo.
Maybe Shantytown is not
anywhere in India.
Pejorative, but
finally,
that's what they are.
We've been working hard to make Google Maps work offline.
How about low-income
With
community?
Maps,
that's better.
You won't need to suck down expensive data or have super reliable connectivity every time you want to navigate somewhere. Let's take a look.
This is a good way, I think, to respond to this issue.
I've saved this map
as opposed to saying, work within our walled garden.
Just to show
internet,
you that we're really talking about offline internet. Maps, let's go ahead and put the phone in airplane mode.
Oh, we can all benefit
so
from this.
Yeah, definitely.
No internet connection. But you'll notice that I can still do things like search for places. I've heard great things about the Museo Sumaya in Mexico City. So let's search for that.
So you've had this capability if you thought ahead and
you
highlighted an area. It sounds like it's doing it.
Can I say, give me the New York map of New York City and
probably? I would
go
guess not.
Street level offline.
Yeah, I would guess not, unless you're in New York City, and then it's going to. I would guess cash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Automatic.
Cash.
And how much
a
is it cashing
going on?
Right. Oh, that's what I was thinking.
It's got the entire.
Gina and I are on the same page.
For the first time, you can also get turn by turn voice directions.
Wow.
Offline as well.
Wow, that's very interesting.
This looks like a pretty great museum, so let's go.
So,
yeah, that's, wow.
So there, that is a significant amount of information. I wonder how large that radius is.
Yeah, exactly. How much is it actually downloading?
Hopefully at least a few out there have good Spanish. There you have it. Now I can search and navigate in the real world online or...
It's ironic because Google hid the offline download of maps, really made it difficult to find.
Mm-hmm.
As if they didn't want anybody to do it.
To be able to navigate and explore the world wherever they are, on a good connection or a spotty one. So we're excited about bringing maps offline starting later this year. Google is committed to making our platforms and our products work well for the next billion people who are going to come online. But it's not just about the work that we're doing. We're most excited by the entrepreneurship, the leadership, and the creativity that we see from developers in these markets.
Ken from Chicago in the chat room says you can size. You can pick what size you want to download.
Yeah.
In the options.
So yeah. So if you do the offline downloading, you can pick any area. It doesn't even have to pick the radius. You can pick any area at all, and then select a radius, and then we'll download it. I don't know how much it downloads, and I doubt very much it does turn by turn without connectivity. So this is new. You're watching live coverage of Google I/O, their big keynote from 2015. Aaron Newcomb is here. Ron Richards from All About Android. Gina Trapani from ThinkUp. Our show today brought to you, as always, by Braintree Payments. We love these guys. If you're a mobile developer, you want an easy way to accept multiple payment types with one integration, quick, knowledgeable developer support if you have questions, and an easy SDK that just takes a few lines to integrate, you got to take a look at Braintree's V.0 SDK. Makes it easy to offer multiple mobile payment types, including starting today. I love it. They haven't put it on the website yet. Android Pay, along with Apple Pay and PayPal and Bitcoin and Venmo. Actually, there is a webpage if you want to know more about Android Pay integration, which you get as you get everything else automatically. BraintreePayments.com/AndroidPay. And if you're interested in Braintree's V.0 SDK, visit BraintreePayments.com/twit. They've got a sandbox you could try. It's just a small snippet of code. You'll be set up in less than 10 minutes. And as a little bit of incentive, your first $50,000 in transactions fee free. BraintreePayments.com/twit. And again, congratulations, Braintree, on being one of the very first to offer Android Pay. And you can find out more at BraintreePayments.com/AndroidPay. Those are happy Braintree users just loving Braintree. No, that's actually, this is Google's video. But you know, it works. I'm just saying.
It does work.
Just saying.
Going back to Inbox, I just enabled it for my Google apps.
If you use Google's automatic categorization in Gmail already, I think you'll find it pretty good. By the way, another thing they've added is the ability to swipe and delete as well as swipe and archive. Your choice.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I do that a lot.
That's been one of my pet peeves is you have to archive. And it's like, well, some things I just want to delete.
Right.
Can I have the option?
Yes, you do.
No, I do.
Yes, you may.
All right. I'm downloading Inbox now. As Ron just said, he got his apps working.
You have to enable it that it works. So.
Now, I would like to talk to you about some of
your admin has to enable it for Google for work. Yeah,
correct.
For you to build these kinds of
sounds like you're your own admin.
Two clicks.
Yeah, I'm my own admin.
I'm my own admin.
I lead the developer product group. I've been at Google a little bit more than a year now. And before that, I was, like many of you here, working with my team to try and make our app great. This gives me a unique perspective on both the challenges and the opportunities that Google offers to developers.
Okay, I'm thinking he's a C-level executive really as a startup. That's the only people who use challenges and opportunities
the company
in a
sense. to bring you the best developer offering and experience across Android, iOS, and the mobile web. Google has always worked with developers, building powerful platforms that have enabled massive innovation. But mobile has really evolved.
The Blazers.
We want to make our offerings more cohesive.
Yeah.
Actual sports
jacket. And let you use the same APIs across platforms to build the apps that you want. Today, I'm going to talk to you about how we're helping you throughout our development lifecycle. I'll go over some of the improvements to help you develop, engage.
Audio says it feels like somebody, a character from Silicon Valley.
First, let's talk about developing your apps. We want to give you the tools you need to quickly build the apps as quickly and reliably as possible across platforms. First, let's talk about developer tools. Last December,
his shirt is not tucked in.
Android Studio
out,
1.0.
So.
Today, we're sharing a preview of version 1.3.
No, he's not wearing it. Aviato T-shirt,
including faster Gradle build speeds.
Aviato.
I love that Aviato van. That's the only relic of the first season.
On the App Store, in the Play Store actually use the native development kit, or NDK.
So Gina, do you use Android Studio?
1.3 is
my poor Android app has been severely neglected, and I haven't moved over to it yet. Yeah.
This is built on IntelliJ. They're giving it away. IntelliJ was a commercial product, or still a commercial project. So they're adding support for C and C++ to Android Studio in addition to Java.
The Polymer library brings visually rich.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Games,
desktop apps, and games.
Games, that's it. Oh, so much games is done in C++.
Even on Android and...
Well, I mean, just in terms of bridging the gap.
Yeah,
Oh, here's Polymer. This is the other thing that we knew was coming.
Easy to drop in common features like toolbars and menus. Services like...
This is a design, a rapid application design UI.
Checkout flow in your web app. Now, I mentioned iOS...
Oh, no, or is this the...
We've always had iOS libraries. But we're starting to bring them together into a cohesive SDK. To improve the developer experience for iOS, we'd like to announce that CocoaPods will now be the default distribution channel for our SDK.
See, I'm not sure. I guess if you're already doing an Android app and you want to add an iOS app, this makes sense.
For dependency management.
But gosh, if you're doing iOS, why not use Xcode?
Into Xcode. Starting today, you can get Google Analytics, Google Maps, and many other libraries all via CocoaPods.
Yeah, this is just a distribution channel for their iOS development kits.
Into
Xcode, yes.
The Android ecosystem is continuing to grow and provides users a diverse range of devices to choose from.
Yeah.
They want everybody to be able to do cross-platform.
Access to two or three to test with, and certainly not to those that are available outside of your country. To help with this challenge, we are releasing Cloud Test Lab, a platform built on top of our acquisition of App Purify to automate the testing of mobile apps.
So this is all very inside baseball for developers.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously they're thrilled.
All you need to do is upload your app and we'll automatically run tests across the top 20
This
Android
is one of the most painful parts of developing an Android app is making sure it works across every device. And so you want to automate this kind of thing, and this is what this tool allows.
Got it. Automated testing.
Google Play Developer Console soon.
Seeing it all the different screen sizes and device and tablets and things like that. That's key.
A lot of ways that we're making it easier to develop on Android, iOS, and the mobile web. Now let's talk about back-end services. Firebase makes it easy to quickly build an app without spinning up servers or writing back-end code. It provides data storage, user authentication, and asset hosting. Firebase is now used by over 190,000 developers, including Citrix, Instacart, and CBS.
This is not owned by Google.
And for apps that have more complex infrastructure requirements, Google Cloud Platform offers many useful services from compute and storage to handling big data. We're seeing great adoption from companies large and small, including Khan Academy, EA, and Snapchat. So once you've finished developing your app, the next step is to get users and keep them coming back. So now I'm going to talk to you about ways to engage users with free tools, app install ads, and on Google Play. First, let's talk about Google Search, where over 100 billion searches happen every month. With app indexing, it allows you to index your app content into Google Search results, just like web content. Yep. Today, we have over 50 billion app links and growing. App indexing is available on Android. We're piloting it on iOS, and it's great.
Andy in our chat room is reporting he just updated his Google Plus app, and Photos has been removed.
Another free tool we have is Cloud Messaging.
That's interesting.
Cloud Messaging
is the most
popular way to send messages
for people that like see the updates. So
sending
over
70 billion messages every day through over 600,000 apps. Today I'm going to talk about two significant improvements we're releasing to Cloud Messaging. First, we're expanding
the web version of Google Plus
and broadening the platform to iOS.
Yeah.
You can now use the same messaging infrastructure across all these platforms.
Photos is still in my
ostensibly current version of Google Plus on Android. In Cloud Messaging.
Google Plus is updating on my phone right now.
Is it? Oh, well.
Yep.
A user who's interested in the TED Radio Hour.
You know, they kind of made it hard to see. It wasn't an obvious spot.
Topics in Cloud Messaging.
I wonder if that was the beginning of the end.
Subscribes to a particular radio show, and for NPR, they can send a single notification that fans out across all subscribers. For you, This means less database management and fewer lines of code.
This is what we'll be doing
in
the
also making it easier to engage with users on the mobile web. Through Chrome,
although we were
going to
use a Facebook
OS level notifications
tool called
from
Parse
your website
to do it.
Additionally,
of course, that's cross
users who engage frequently with your site can add it to their home screens. These features bring the power of native development to the mobile web experience. So we've talked about ways you can engage users for free. Now let's talk about app install ads.
Photos is still in Google Plus.
Particularly smaller ones.
Still there.
That they want to start marketing their app, but they don't have
at least in the version
teams.
You got.
So we're
yeah,
making
exactly.
it simpler with the introduction of universal app campaigns. All you have to do is set your budget and the cost you're willing to pay per user. And we'll set up an automated campaign with the right ad inventory across Search, AdMob, YouTube, and the new Search Ads we're piloting in Google Play.
Search
this feature will
ads.
Be available in the Google Play Developer Console and
Google
AdWords in a few months.
Play.
Through
that
Google Analytics,
sense.
You can already track the effectiveness of your app install ads on Android. Today, we're adding support for iOS with over 20 ad networks, including InMobi and Millennial Media. We will continue to invest in delivering the best in cross-network and lifetime value attribution. We also
Thank
believe
God,
that you should have a choice
something in
the tools
I need
that
is
you
lifetime
use.
Attribution.
And think that the entire mobile industry is stronger when we have transparent, open, and reliable tools for measurement. We remained committed to our integrations with partners such as Tune and Kachava and are proud to have their support in our open approach. Now let's zoom in on Android developers. We frequently
okay.
hear from you that you love the Google Play Developer Console. It's a great tool for publishing your app.
We got to remind you, it is a developer's conference.
It's an even better
yes.
tool for you to acquire and engage users.
And these are important bits
now for, the
oh,
for developers.
Time, yeah.
You'll be able to see how many
this
people
is called
are looking at your listing and making purchases in addition to how many install your app.
Oh, that's nice. That's really nice. Because you want to be able to measure
this
to see
you
know, people looking and
conversion funnel.
Moving away.
Yeah. Right.
You'll also be able to
or
see
buying.
Where your valuable, your
this
most
is the
valuable
conversion funnel.
Come from across organic and paid traffic. And now that you have access to this data, you're going to want to use it to make your listing even better. Starting today, you can run experiments on your Play Store listing.
This is the A/B testing
cool.
we're talking about.
Different versions
yeah,
of graphics yeah. and text and see which drives more downloads. We do all the number crunching for you.
This is really
in our
powerful.
Pilot program, we were thrilled to see that developers such as Kongregate got double-digit lifts in their App Store listing conversion rates. And this created a significant impact on their business.
That's
for developers
awesome.
Who recognize the power of marketing
so
tools like this, this is huge.
App,
yeah, absolutely.
Also want to let users explore all of them. Starting today, we're allowing you to create your own Google Play homepage. Upload your graphics, explain what your company is all about, and pick
oh,
a
that's
special
great.
After feature.
That's nice.
So you can control the branding and the message of your
company. This gives
your
you a single destination
company.
To promote all
your company,
of your apps
yeah.
on the Play Store.
Yeah.
So we've talked about acquiring and engaging users. And for some of you, it's not just about developing for apps for fun. You've also got to pay the rent. Now, there's lots of ways to earn money, but today I want to specifically focus on AdMob, which helps you run ads inside of your app. We want monetization to be smarter for you, so we've integrated Google Analytics into AdMob so that you can get insights as to where your users are in the life cycle of your app. This information is already helping app developers make decisions about their in-app advertising. For example, if you have a gaming app, you can use analytics to understand how long it takes for users to complete a level. You can show fewer ads to the users that finish a level quickly and show in-app promotions to those that need a little help. This will help you maximize your revenue in a way that protects your user experience. Mediation is a way to run other ad networks through the AdMob platform and creates more competition in your app. Today, we support over 40 ad networks in our mediation partners, having added 15 in the last year alone. And we're proud to announce our newest partner, Tencent, one of the largest mobile ad networks in China. We think these features will give you the flexibility to make the right decisions for both your users and your app. So today,
but what
I've
about
talked
middle
about
app compression?
To make it easier for
How do you handle that?
To engage your users and earn with Google.
What's your Weissman score?
We'll continue to innovate. We're working hard to nail the fundamentals,
And with each new release, you will see more efficient, easier to use APIs.
It was great when I was going down to work.
Android and iOS.
The other day, it was actually last time I was on this week in Google. I was going from here to work, so I go to work and I saw the Pied Piper billboard.
Nice.
There's actually a Pied Piper billboard.
Oh, they're all over. Yeah.
This is from the show Silicon
Valley. Yeah. I took a picture of it, or maybe I found a picture online and posted it on Google Plus. But it was hilarious. I was like, Pied Piper. Where do I know that from? And then I'm like, because it looks so authentic.
They really get that right.
So, yep. I'm Ellie from the Google Play team, and Google Play continues to scale with the growth of the Android ecosystem. We're helping users all over the world get the most out of their devices.
I like that dress.
We've delivered 50 billion app installs in just the past.
She was on last year's I.O.
We're getting to the well-dressed portion of these.
Yeah.
Every single day. So as people around the world have their very first experience with a smartphone each day.
Huli.xyz.
That site is hysterical.
And today, Play is growing twice as quickly in markets
Inspiration.
In India, Southeast Asia,
Exploration.
And Middle East as the rest of the
world.
It
takes a big head to dream
and users
big.
Users on Play just love games. Many of you are already using Play game services to build multiplayer games and make your games more social.
The Moonshot Factory.
The Moonshot
Factory. Millions of users
factory.
Connect to Play game services through your games, including more than Vision. 180 million new users in the past 6 months alone. So, if you're an app developer, Play
is focus on games.
Users. So, the better and more personally relevant that we make the store, the more users come back to Play to install more apps like yours. And we know that you work hard to grow your user base. So, at Play, we also spend a great deal of time thinking about how to match users to your content in the best way possible to bring users to your apps. So, with more than a billion users on Play, the Android ecosystem is extremely diverse. And it makes sense that the Play Store that you see is different from the Play Store.
These last two people are obviously in sales, right?
And we found that using personalization.
The way it seems to me, I mean.
They're well coiffed, well dressed, well spoken.
Yeah.
Search also plays a big role.
Yeah, this is all about marketing and productizing.
It's funny how, you know, the hoodie versus the blazer.
I still want to see a woman in a hoodie come out.
Yeah, absolutely.
With fringe tips and, you know, I think the whole.
The user really wants, right? And that same search results page just doesn't cut it. We can be a lot smarter about helping the user find exactly the right app.
People in Shyam are saying that dress is brown.
For a search like shopping.
Blue, gold.
This way, people can see and understand the full range of shopping apps that are available.
Oh, interesting. Look at this categorization and search results.
Organizing results in this new way not only delivers more installs, but from a much wider range of developers than before. And with search results, they're easier and more.
They really need to do something to fix search in Google Play, because it's with so many apps, it's just a mess in there now.
I have to tell you, though, it is the best of the big three.
True.
Windows phone search is execrable. Apple often doesn't find apps that are, especially big apps, that are obviously there. So at least I think Play works at the best of the three. It may not be perfect.
When you look around this room, you see passionate Android developers.
So many people announce that they have a new Android app, and then you search for it in the Play Store, and you don't see it because the indexing takes so long.
It takes a while,
We know that parents only want the
And discovery is just a pain. Like, I want to find a new spreadsheet app or something. You know, it's hard to find new.
You want some fun, search for VLC in the Windows Phone Store.
Family discovery makes it much easier for parents to find high-quality, family-friendly apps, games, movies, TV shows, and books on Google Play.
So parental controls, Google Play, kid-friendly. Kid-friendly content.
So this gives us parents an easy way to find the right content throughout the store. And you'll find this star on all of our family-friendly content.
That's smart.
So, for example, when you navigate to the family home,
some of this is mandated by the Federal Trade Commission, which has been unhappy about in-app purchases.
And it signals to parents that they can trust the quality of your content. Top charts and searches from within the family homepage are filtered. We only display the apps and games that have met the design for families program criteria.
That's cool.
This way, parents can feel comfortable with their content choices. And growing up, every kid has their favorite character from books or TV, right? And so now you can use the popular character browser or the character badge.
We're about 2 hours in.
So, any Star Wars fans here?
Still
today?
No VR.
We have, I figured.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. So you'll have a
cardboard.
Lot of content to explore. And let's find my favorite. Dora the Explorer.
My favorite, too.
I'm secretly a huge fan. and you'll be taken to a dedicated
Why don't I believe that?
And finally,
Dora's good stuff.
No, Dora's great if you have kids.
Yeah.
Provide objective third-party content ratings for all apps. We have a new set of parental controls.
Swiper, no swiping.
We have stronger password protection for in-app purchases.
So it's not a separate store. It's just more support for family-friendly filtering within the Google Play Store.
So do you think they gave her that Android Wear watch as she started to walk out on the stage?
Helping kids explore the world.
Everyone has had a watch on. Have you noticed that, by the way? Yeah.
Here's your watch.
We invite you to join us. Let's make Android fantastic for families together.
Well, it's better than glass. We never saw one of the presenters wearing glass.
That's a good point.
Sergey, right?
Yeah. I just don't think she would have chosen a brown band. She carefully chose that dress.
Thank you. Sundar. Great to see Google Play for families. As a father of two, I've had my share of Dora.
Yeah.
And I hope all of you get to enjoy that experience as well.
My share. So just thank God you're not, it's not Barney.
We can build amazing experiences on top of a platform.
Can you turn him up a little bit?
Yeah, I was just going to say.
We really want to enable the next generation
all the way.
Of developers.
Turn it up all the way.
Wow.
A lot of us take for granted the skills we have in this room. Yes. You earlier heard about the next billion users coming online. It is important we empower others to become developers so that they can build the next set of experiences. So we've been working with Udacity. Udacity is a leading provider of massively scalable online education.
I love Udacity. I'm very
excited to announce today we are launching the Android Nano Degree.
Nice.
If there's good. A smaller degree, we don't know it.
Udacity announced these nano degrees a long time ago. This is awesome.
And we cover the entire life cycle of Android development.
Oh,
I'm going to do this.
Details like Google Play services.
So a nano degree is what?
Just like two or three courses.
Really focused.
Really kind of demeaning the word degree a little bit. Okay, devaluing it, but okay.
At this point, we're going to shift gears.
Take a couple of courses. You got a degree.
Talk about the future of computing.
Yeah. But it's, I like this, though, because it shows employers that you're willing to go out and do something, you know, without actually having to go get a master's
in
whatever.
Much more immersive
computer science or
in
something.
Context for you. Not all of your computing experiences is going to be looking at a
coming
small
soon, Pico
black
degrees.
Rectangle in front of you. Think about the icebergs of Greenland. You do want an experience as if you are and you can experience the real world
Holy
for all
Magoli.
Its richness.
And that is
color.
Beautiful.
Look at the real world for all its richness.
A lot about how to bring the real 4K? World users in a more immersive way.
It is the real
you
world.
Always care about it. Google Maps has been doing street view imagery, trying to capture the real world. So we started our efforts here with Google Cardboard. The Cardboard team was a 20% project. We launched it at last year's Google I.O., and they've been thinking hard about VR and how to get a much more immersive
experience. I have a femto degree in cardboard.
To talk about that, I'm going to invite Clay Bauer onto the stage.
All right, here's the VR stuff. We've been waiting for.
It comes after femto. Atto.
As Sundar said, a year ago, on this very stage, we introduced Google Cardboard.
Our
goal with Cardboard was to make virtual reality available to everyone. And so
this is the manual, Gina, that you did not read on the way.
Right. Added some lenses and a rubber band. And amazingly enough, that was all you needed to turn your smartphone into a fully functional VR viewer. And there's been incredible excitement about Cardboard ever since. What began as a single open design has turned into an entire ecosystem of manufacturers making Cardboard in all shapes and sizes. There are over 100 apps, on the Google Play Store that are compatible with Google Cardboard.
Are we going to see
including apps from folks like Jaunt and Verse, who are actually today. And people keep finding new and creative uses of Cardboard in VR. Campus tours, art shows. One guy even proposed to his girlfriend with the help of Cardboard.
God, I hope she said no.
I'm not actually totally sure how that worked, but the important thing is that she said yes.
Oh, she did.
You guys are terrible.
Today,
I hope she said
I'm proud to say there are more than 1 million Cardboard viewers.
Put
out
this
there
on.
Wow. Wait, 1 million
Cardboard viewers?
Of cardboard or different?
Okay. About when we folded our first piece of Cardboard, immersive experiences just like these for everyone. And we really couldn't have done it without your help. Everyone who folded your own Cardboard, who built an app, who filmed a spherical video, thank you.
Of course, YouTube
Today,
supports
we're really
this.
Excited to give you a glimpse of what's next for Cardboard and for our larger efforts in VR. There are three things I'd like to share. And the first of those is an improved cardboard viewer. Now, the original viewer, it was great. But phones, turns out, got a lot bigger in the last year. And so the new design fits phones with screens that are large and 6 inches.
It's even more cardboard for your
phone. Even more cardboard.
The magnet button, if you remember,
6-inch cardboard.
Was a clever way to do input, but it didn't work on every phone.
And so there's a ViewMaster button.
That does. Actually made out of cardboard. And now, instead of it taking 12 steps to assemble, it takes just...
Is this like the intermission?
So I can't believe they're touting their easily assembled cardboard.
Me too.
Just like last year, you'll get one immediately after the keynote.
Crowd goes wild.
Yeah, first giveaway.
Piece of cardboard.
Okay, so it works with any phone, it fits any phone, the button works with every phone. But the software, the cardboard SDK, it needs to work with every phone too. And so, as of today, the Cardboard SDK for Unity will support both Android and iOS.
Oh, an iPhone? No, I'm sorry.
Yeah, maybe.
So, we just said it, iOS.
Yeah,
so iOS support. Yeah. If you're creating a VR experience and you want to bring it to everyone, you think Cardboard can help. That's the Cardboard update. Lots of manufacturing partners, hundreds of apps, over 1 million viewers. And it's still
now
just
with
a piece of
20% more cardboard, says Klaus.
Second thing I want to share today is about how we're bringing VR and its unique ability to take you other places and bringing that to some place that's pretty special. That's the classroom. Just think about your favorite field trip growing up. There's something amazing about visiting a place, seeing it up close, experiencing it with your own eyes. But, of course, the school
Google
bus
needs something
go
in the
everywhere.
Middle here. Can't go to the cover
moon.
Both ends of the spectrum.
Can't go to another
Google Glass
back in a day.
On one end.
Can't go to the
Google
bottom
cardboard
of the
on the
ocean.
Other.
But VR can help take you those places, which is why today we're excited to announce Expeditions.
Kind of uncertain applause.
Is this like a cardboardy maps thing?
Expeditions lets teachers take their classes on field trips to anywhere. Here's how it works. So a box
class,
arrives
your,
with
your
everything
cardboard
that you need
on.
To travel. Cardboard and phones for every student, a teacher tablet, and all of these devices are synchronized so that then when the teacher chooses a place, the entire classroom jumps there together.
Cool. This is getting ready for VR, I tell you.
That's cool.
We're getting there.
And the response from students and teachers has just been...
Sorry, the level's so low. This is what we're getting from Google. We're pumping it up as much as we can. It's actually getting quieter as it goes.
It is, yeah, absolutely.
Lower our level, Jason. That way people can turn it up at home and... We
India,
won't boom out
to Nigeria, my homeland.
One or maybe all of the seven wonders of the world.
When the you're watching our live coverage of Google I/O's 2015 keynote. Now hour three just beginning.
There's something outside of your community that you could go to and learn from. And that
show
today
brought to you by BraintreePayments.com. Braintree is an amazing
right,
way to
so
incorporate payments
and we'll talk
into your mobile app, including now Android Pay, PayPal, Apple Pay, Bitcoin, Venmo. Yes, Android Pay. That's what I love about the Braintree V.0 SDK. It just happens. A couple of lines of code, and you're all set up. Less than 10 minutes. If you want to know more about the Android Pay integration, their Android Pay beta is online at BraintreePayments.com/AndroidPay. And if you'd like to use Braintree in your next app, I want you to go to BraintreePayments.com/TWIT because we can get you your first $50,000 in transactions fee-free. BraintreePayments.com/TWIT. We thank them so much for their support of our breaking news and event coverage at TWIT. You know, cardboard, the problem is there's still a $600 phone inside the cardboard.
Right, right.
There's so much other places to see, so you know that it's never going to end.
The cardboard kind of hides the fact that this is still a very expensive VR helmet. It's roughly the same price as an Oculus Rift.
Right,
actually.
All in, right.
All in. Well, 10 cents for the cardboard, $600 for the phone.
Thanks to an incredible group of educators. Hundreds of classes all around the world have already gone on expeditions. And today, teachers who want to create their own, who want to bring expeditions to their school, can sign up online. Now, we're also partnering with some amazing organizations.
Mike
like
P. in the chair saying maybe they could use Android
the American
1,
Museum
the really expensive
of Natural History,
ones.
And the Palace of Versailles.
I don't know how much cardboard
create
requires.
New expeditions and bring those to schools
plus,
around
kids,
the world.
Kids have smaller heads anyway, so
this fall.
You don't need the big phone.
So that's expeditions, field trips to anywhere for every classroom.
Well, even if it's a $50 phone times 30 kids,
it's still going to be a lot, yeah. But you know what? School, it's,
third and final thing I want to talk about.
At least
about
in the U.S., schools could afford that,
capturing
though.
And right. Sharing these real-world experiences.
A lot of kids have phones now these days, too.
I mean, just think of how many millions of dollars schools are spending right now, at least around one, where I live, on tablets and laptops, like Chromebooks, whatever.
Because the world is filled with all of these awesome places and events like Great Barrier Reefs and Golden Gate Bridges and birthday parties
there's only
and
one.
Mountaintops. But there's a problem.
Just
you can't
one.
Actually be there. If you want to go back to a place or a time, then your experience is pretty limited. Because cameras kind of only capture the world like this. It's like watching a flat version of the world through a tiny little window. And if you want to capture something that's truly immersive, there are really only a handful of very custom camera rigs in the world.
The GoPro just announced it's going to do a six-camera rig.
We want to change that.
Won't be cheap.
We want to put professional, previously impossible tools in the hands of any creator who's motivated.
But that's meant specifically for VR
capture the world around
content.
And then share it in a way that lets all of us jump to the top of that mountain. Jump to any
backpack
place or event
360 cameras
the
for everybody.
And experience the sights.
I'll tell you, the minute they come out with a good, reliable one, I'm buying it because I'd love
today,
to have that in the studio.
I'd like to preview something that we call Jump.
Jump.
Jump. Jump enables
and
any creator
at
to
the end of the show,
the
David Lee Roth.
VR video.
Yes.
And right. It's video just that you can step
little rock and roll.
And make it available to everyone. It has three parts. A camera rig, very specialized geometry. An assembler, which turns raw footage into VR video. And a player.
Yeah, this is what GoPro kind of announced. They acquired a company called Color, K-O-L-O-R.
The rigs that we built, they include 16 camera modules mounted in a circular array.
16 cameras.
You can actually use off-the-shelf cameras for this if you want. And you can make the array out of basically any material.
You can build it yourself.
3D printed plastic, one out of machine metal, and for good measure.
So they're giving you the plans, not the product. Interesting.
And it worked. What's critical is the actual geometry. And we spent a lot of time optimizing everything.
The size
of the
GoPro,
rig, number and placement of the
device
cameras,
was six, wasn't it? Six
view,
cameras.
Relative overlap, every last detail. And we seem to be losing the slides here. Every last detail.
Say it
and
again.
Now, what we want to do is share what we've learned with everyone.
Come on, Harry.
So just like we did with Cardboard, we're going to be opening up the camera geometry with plans available to everyone this summer.
Do you need that many cameras? What is the field of view of a single camera?
So anyone who's motivated will be able to build a jump-ready camera. Now, of course, if you're a pro and you've done filming with multiple cameras, you know that it's kind of complicated. You need synchronized recording, exposure control, and so on. And so we thought it would be good if someone who really knows how to build a great camera could help out. So we called our friends at GoPro. And today, I'm excited to announce that GoPro plans to build and sell a jump-ready 360-degree camera array.
All right.
Nice.
Smart. Very smart.
Now, GoPro, of course, has enabled people to capture some of the world's most awesome experiences, including spherical content. And they're bringing their camera expertise to the jump-ready rig, which will include shared camera settings, frame-level synchronization, and other features that will allow all 16 cameras to operate as one. Here's what it looks like.
There it is.
So GoPro's actually here with us today.
Come
they brought
on.
One of their rigs, and it's in our IO sandbox if you want to check
Look
it out.
Look at that.
Okay.
So that's the camera geometry. Next up is what we call the assembler. And this is where the Google magic really begins.
Yeah, the software's
key on this.
The
assembler takes 16 different video feeds and uses a combination of computational photography.
In real time?
Computer vision,
feeds
and a whole lot of computers to recreate the scene as viewed from thousands of in-between viewpoints everywhere along the circumference of the camera array. And we then use these in-between viewpoints to synthesize the final imagery, stereoscopic VR video. Let me show you an example of how the assembler creates one single frame of VR video. So first, we take the raw camera data and we do a rough alignment. Next, we perform a global color calibration and exposure compensation, and things start to look a bit better.
Yeah,
but if we zoom in, you'll see
there
are still seams
it looks like the,
between some of the images.
Photosphere.
Chopper? Moto?
Photosphere.
To fix those,
no, I'm thinking
algorithms
the places,
use information
actually,
about the underlying structure of the scene to perform a three-dimensional alignment.
Is that a potato cannon?
And the 3D alignment works by compensating for the depth of different objects in the
scene. Like this. Software's very key on this.
And it's this understanding of depth that also enables us to create all of those in-between viewpoints, which you can see here.
Wow.
this.
Interpolate between
that. That looks seamless. That's amazing.
Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. That's some flare from the light, but otherwise, perfect.
Yeah, I like how the light flares.
Cool. Yeah.
It's a fundamentally different and more advanced approach than anything else we've seen. And unlike other solutions, you don't see borders where the cameras are spliced together and you have beautiful, accurate, depth-corrected stereo in all directions. Now, we've actually built a bunch of these cameras and sent them to places all over the world, from the Google campus in Mountain View to Iceland to Japan, and we've captured some really beautiful places.
How much your GoPros?
I have to say, you've got to see these properly in VR.
It depends on which one you get. The nice ones, yeah.
But let's see some footage here on stage.
16 cameras, $400. 6,000
the wraparound screens.
Oh, yeah, that's neat. Clef,
that's probably why the screen is wraparound.
Yeah. So it works with video, which I think is very interesting.
Yeah.
But I want to do this here. I don't know how we broadcast it, but
and nobody really has a live streaming for cardboard yet.
Yeah, live streaming for cardboard.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, this isn't, I mean, people have done this kind of thing in film for a long time.
Yeah.
But still,
it's expensive.
It's expensive.
Yeah. Where do you see this footage in VR?
That's what's interesting.
Look near,
if you can look
or
around.
Things look far, and you can look.
It's crazy.
All around you.
It's interesting is that these are horizontal cameras.
Now, assembling footage,
the other
like
GoPro
this,
camera goes
thousands
all
of computers.
360.
And this we want to make this processing power broadly available. So this summer, we'll begin making the Jump assembler available to select creators worldwide. But this leaves one question. Where are people going to watch this stuff?
How do you see it?
Are we going to make it
what?
So that
Let me think.
Anyone can experience it? We've been working on
YouTube?
Something for that, too. And we call it YouTube. So, starting this summer, YouTube will support Jump. So, if you want
really,
to experience
that's
VR video,
that's actually really good because they
could have
just put this into photos,
smartphone,
right? Like they've done in the past.
Now, in the meantime,
so this week,
you can try out basic non stereoscopic 360 content in YouTube and Cardboard. That's Jump, an open camera design with a fully integrated version from GoPro on the way. An assembler that turns raw footage into VR video with the help of thousands of computers.
I guess
and
they didn't want to use super wide-angle lenses because of distortion.
All of this will be available
issues
this summer. And I am so excited to see what you all create.
You're still
you
looking at watching YouTube in a tiny little rectangle, though, you guys. Like,
well,
I've seen
but no, but that's the point. It says it's cardboard compatible, so you go to that that YouTube video, play it on your cardboard. Now you can look around.
Right.
And, of course, cardboard. Where we got started. The beginning of our journey. Cardboard is about VR for absolutely everyone.
Somebody in the chat room said, I saw this in 1964 at Disneyland.
Circle vision.
That's true, but Google's making it real.
Yeah, and you
really
can, and any,
to
anybody
see what
can
we can
this.
Do to
I
mean, bring the real world alive to users in an immersive
$6,400 to throw away.
Yeah. Projects like this, bold approaches like this, is at the heart of how we
I think this is
approach
exciting.
Problems for users. I often get asked, how does search, Android, photos, and things like this, how do they relate to each other?
So now you work
for
at
us,
Google, right?
It is about
how do you
Google
search Android photos?
Putting technology in computer
he
science.
He gets that. He goes to like family get-togethers. Yeah. So now you work at that Google place, right?
Users face and do it at scale for everyone in the world.
It's kids' school.
Take driverless cars. The reason we work on driverless cars is it's something people do every day.
Too bad.
And in the U.S., just last year, there were over 33,000 deaths. That's almost 100 people who die every day on
That's
roads.
Sad. Isn't that terrible?
We really want to make a difference, and we think technology can do that. We started with driving a few Priuses around in parking lots. Our Lexus hybrid vehicles have now driven more than 1 million miles autonomously, without a single incident having been caused by the self-driving car. She just announced last week the prototypes, our next-generation prototype, they're actually going to be driving around in Mountain View.
My kid has
and if you
that.
Take
it's
a look
Tonka,
at what the
right?
car sees when it is driving around, that is all the machine learning I talked about earlier. Yeah. The purple boxes are other cars. The size reflects the size of the vehicle. You're seeing yellow appear there, which is pedestrians. So the car is using computer vision to navigate accurately. It's incredible computer science at work, which makes a difference.
In the past, and this isn't
project
widely
Loon
spread about,
is another bold project.
Google's self-driving cars had to go on roads that had previously mapped LiDAR.
Edge of space.
I wonder if they're to the point now where they can just go and do it. Just drive anywhere.
You're saying that's what that machine learning can do now.
Right.
You know, it can detect what's around it, whether pedestrian or cars.
Right.
Our balloons can stay up for over 100 days. The previous world record was
55
days.
I think the best thing Silicon Valley did was retire the term moonshot.
And deliver
said the word moonshot
10 megabits per second directly to handsets.
And these are all Google X projects.
We can cover areas four times the size of what we used to before, an area the size of Rhode Island. And we are very excited that now we can connect the balloons so that we can
This actually turned out to be more of a success than Google
expected.
We can
navigate these balloons.
Worried about balloon durability, and they've turned out to be better than expected.
We are actually testing Project Loon live. So in New Zealand, working with Vodafone New Zealand, we provided live coverage for well over a day. And now we are expanding our partnerships with Telefonica, Telstra. We are in discussions with telecom carriers who have over 1 billion subscribers totally.
Wow.
Projects like these, be it search, be it Android, be it organizing your photos, taking an immersive trip to Greenland, is at the heart of what we try to do, using technology at work to solve problems for everyone in the world. This is why I/O is so exciting for us. We get to share what we have been up to in the last year, and all you developers get to go out and build amazing things on top of what we do. So I can't wait to see what you build next year. Thank you so much for joining us. Good luck and see
Very
you
next nice. Year. 2 hours and 15 minutes. We planned for 2.5.
Yeah,
Sundar
Pichai,
the only high-level Google executive to take the stage. No Larry Page.
No Sergey.
Although, I got to say, that really, we knew it, but it certainly cements the notion that Sundar Pichai is running the show.
Yeah, definitely. I thought for sure we would see Larry do what he did last year. So I'm really surprised he didn't come out.
Well, it was 2 years ago. Did he come out last
year? Was it 2 years ago? I thought it was last year.
Yeah,
you talking about that. You talking about the skydive? That was Sergey. That was crazy Sergey in the skydive.
And that was 3 years ago. So
well,
yeah.
I thought Larry came out last year and talked about his innovation island. Or
the island.
Yeah. Well, that was 2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Oh my word!
It was 2 years ago, and I don't think that served them well. I think they clearly
think
decided
right.
not to have him do that again.
Too off off script. Too impromptu. They began with, of course, talking about M, which we have still don't have a dessert for, although I think Aaron Newcomb is right on when he says Milky Way. And they implied that because the videos preceding the keynote were of, in fact, a tour of the Milky Way.
Yeah.
Going from way out in the galaxy to actually starting from the central galaxy to go way out to us. They talked about new features of M. Really no surprises there. Everything we already knew about a fingerprint API.
Android Pay.
Android Pay, which is essentially a rebranded Google Wallet, but with some additional features.
And hopefully additional availability.
Doze for power and charging, right? That'd be nice.
Very nice. You know, battery is the biggest, I think, right now pain point for mobile. They also announced that 17 million Chromecasts had been sold, that HBO Now was coming to Android. That's big news. The developer preview is available now on Nexus devices. So if you want to download that, you can put that on. You have to change the firmware, obviously.
Q3 release for M.
Q3 release. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Chrome is being modified slightly. Chrome custom tabs will allow sign in, saved passwords, autofill, multi-process security. This is Chrome on Android, I gather.
Yeah, custom Chrome tabs within apps. So when apps can use, instead of using a web view, they can utilize Chrome.
Got it.
And you can get all the benefits of being logged into Chrome while staying within the app.
Got it. Android Pay is an open platform, so that's good news.
The fingerprint support.
Fingerprint,
Big changes around permissions.
Yeah, you won't have to reapprove permissions when you update an app anymore. I'm not sure that's an improvement, but I guess you can always look at the manifest and see.
When you get the app, you don't have to grant it permissions. It's when you use the app.
iOS-type permissions.
And it's granular. Right. So it's not just a one for all. Yep, I want to do all these things. It's, now, like they showed you, want to use your microphone? Okay, fine. Want to use your camera? Oh, I got to approve that too. Or maybe, no, I'm naked. I don't want to use my camera right now. So that's good.
Oh, no, I'm naked. There should be an naked.
That's the practical application here. Let's get serious.
I'm in the bathroom.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you.
I'm on the jar. Sorry.
Type-C charging and connection ports for phones going forward. Google was involved in the creation of Type-C along with Apple and Intel. In fact, Google's videos about the USB Type-C connector really kind of implied they invented it. I'm sure Apple would have something to say about that. They want the world to think they invented it. But both the Chromebook Pixel and the new MacBook come with Type-C connectors, and I think you're going to see more of those on mobile. So that's very, very good. Minor things like Dieter Bohn said, they fixed copy and paste. Volume controls, finally, will be simplified and more granular at the same time. The volume controls were kind of notoriously bad in Android.
Yes, definitely.
L.
Yep. Google Now on Tap.
Google Now on Tap is a very interesting feature in which you can, apparently Google is reading everything on your screen and you can tap an application without the application being aware. You can tap a picture or a word in an application and now will pop up with appropriate now cards.
Contextual information based on use, you know? So if you're, you know, if someone emails you and says, hey, let's go to this restaurant, and you can just, you know, you then pull up, you know, the address of the restaurant, the maps location, the link to OpenTable, like everything, you know, kind of the next step, which is a really deep kind of integration in that next action when you receive some information, which I'm fascinated by. I love it.
Yeah.
So, I think we'll welcome it, but some privacy concerns are raised by it because it sounds like Google now is basically admitting we know everything that's happening.
Yep.
In all of your apps.
We're hoping there's some control there.
Yeah, I'm sure there
will. Yeah, and the question is whether or not they know and they're saving or if they're just reading and reacting and what the hold time is, whether
they're
learning
from that.
They could
do that, couldn't they? You could tap and hold and they could then read the screen.
Do it on the spot. I bet they're not.
Right. It would be equivalent of running a Google search, you know, based on a couple of words that you're looking at versus indexing all the content in all your apps.
I mean, it could be a combination of the two because they want to save that information, again, so that they can track your habits. So they know, you know, oh, you always go to this place or you always do searches for this so that they can deliver more relevant content. So it's both. I think it's a little bit of both, hopefully.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then a tour of Android Wear. Nothing new to say there except to point out the new features of Android Wear 5.1, which are currently available in the LG watch, the Urbane, but will soon come to every other Android Wear watch, I believe.
That section is what I'll chalk up as the biggest disappointing section because that did nothing other than show us what has rolled out recently with the May release of Android Wear, whatever version it is, what number it is on. And there's no, you know, what you can see coming next or what we're doing with Android Wear or anything like that. I'm really disappointed to not see anything there. So
did they mention
more of a response to Apple Watch, I think, than anything else.
Yeah.
Well, in particular, they focused on the number of bands available and the number of watch faces, 1,500 watch faces.
Is that really going to determine the winner in the wear space and the wearables, the number of watch faces?
Well, Apple Watch only has 7, right? I mean, that's why I feel like it was such a direct response. You know, they're saying, hey, look, you know, this is all the stuff that we do that they don't without saying it.
Yeah.
Yep.
They, you know, they showed features that people with LG watches will say, oh, yeah, I can do that, like an ambient always-on feature for apps as well as for the watch faces. That's another thing, by the way, another dig at Apple Watch, which turns itself off unless you flip it back up. 4,000 plus Android Wear apps, too, very significant. These are all, I think this is all Google saying, yeah, we got that.
Mm-hmm.
We did that.
Yep, definitely.
We do that. Then on to Brillo, which is an Android-based operating system for the Internet of Things. Brillo supports Wi-Fi, Bluetooth LE. It is, they said, broad silicon support, which sounds to me like it supports both ARM and x86. And Weave, which we don't know a lot about, but could be huge, the notion that there is finally a open standard for inter-app or near-object communications.
Yeah. This is what I'm most excited about is Brillo and Weave, especially if it's cross-platform, which I believe they said it was, and an API and everything. I mean, it just makes it so much easier. I mean, this is really an area that is untapped right now, I think, and it looks like Google's going to try to go after it. I think it's fantastic. And the fact
just,
that
they lost my trust around Android at home, though, right? I mean, they announced Android at home like, what, 4 years ago? And then it was, there was nothing else, right?
Yeah.
And it was interesting. They made the point, this is not about the home. This is going to control tractors and it's going to be in the classroom and it's going to, you know, so this was, I feel like they were trying to make the distinction like, oh, this isn't Android at home. But to me, I'm as a developer and as a consumer, I'm like, I heard about Android at home and nothing came of it.
Right. Right. I think this is what we were hoping Android home or Android at home was going to be, right? I mean, this is certainly what I thought it was going to be.
Well, I think
they just kind of fell down on it.
I think Android at home was a little more user-based, you know, like you get home and the garage door opens and then your thermostat adjusts and the lights adjust. And it was more about the user experience, where it seems like this is going, you know, beneath the surface and this is the protocol of which all these devices will work. And then from this, you know, I imagine Android home could be, you know, come out of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
In a way, they're recontextualizing the smart home to say it's the Internet of Things now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it isn't home. It's farmers with tractors. I don't know why they focused on that.
Me neither.
Hey, irrigation systems. It's a big problem.
Well, there you go.
It's a market.
Why didn't
absolutely.
They say that? They should have said
that. Yeah, yeah. But I think that's something that the entire world's going to have to do, rethink. The notion of a smart home is pretty old-fashioned. It's really about Internet-connected devices, kind of self-aware devices, and the ability to control them using a central tool. Yeah. It does look like Weave requires Brillo, but I can also see people like, say, SmartThings creating Weave interfaces for their devices, as they have Zigbee and Z-Wave.
I think Sundar said that Brillo would work with Weave, but Weave wouldn't require Brillo. Like it was it was a stack that worked with or without each other. And Weave is what's going to tie things together. Brillo is what Google's offering to the table, but other devices might use other things. So
search. We talked, of course, that's Google.
Photos. Did we talk about photos?
No, we're getting there.
Photos. Oh, sorry.
I'm just going back in time. I'm going chronologically through this thing. There wasn't that much to say about search. Speech recognition accuracy has improved dramatically in 2013. He showed a slide that said it was 23%. It is now down to 8%. And I think most of us agree that that's kind of in those 2 years. That's about what we've kind of just anecdotally experienced. Google's voice recognition has gotten much better. And Inbox, we did mention this was an announcement that happened before the keynote, or simultaneous with the keynote, that the Inbox email app, Inbox interface to Gmail was now going invite free, so everybody can do it, and works with Google for Work, which is a big improvement that a lot of you, especially Aaron,
I've got it
Ron,
set up. While we were talking,
Jeff
I got it
Jarvis
set up. And
be very happy.
Didn't have
that,
to do anything in my admin accounts. I just worked.
Some additions to Inbox as well. The idea of a travel folder to join social updates and forums, so all your travel emails will be collected in one place. Parna Chennapragada took the stage then to talk about Google Now. We mentioned a little bit about this idea that Google Now can be aware of what's going on the phone and respond to it. It's not just segregated into Google Now, and lots more capabilities, although most of which we kind of knew about, these third-party application support for Google Now showing you gas stations along the way or houses in your neighborhood that just sold, things like that. Those are, I presume, require some sort of application. And also some intelligence in the Google Now. You can be listening to Skrillex. I guess this is the tap interface. And say, hey, okay, Google, what's his real name? And it will know you're talking about Skrillex. Didn't really care that his real name was Sonny John Moore, but at least I could find that out if I wanted to.
No mention of the Skrillex branded Nexus 6. I thought that was going to happen. Yeah.
No. Here's your chance.
And in fact, no new devices. Jason tweeted, there was no giveaway. The cardboard was the only giveaway. There was no new hardware.
I think that's smart. I think that they had accidentally created this crazy rush for Google I/O invites from people who weren't developers, just wanted to get free stuff. That's always a bad idea. All right, photos. Let's talk about photos. It's still not clear whether they're extracting this capability from Google Plus, but they are updating the Photos app, which you probably already have if you have an Android device, It will be available on iOS as well. The app will feature unlimited free storage of all of your photos up to 16 megapixels. It's huge. All your videos up to 1080p. Free, unlimited, forever.
It's awesome.
And that's available today, androidphotos.google.com and iOS.
Isn't that great?
Yeah. And, I think the Google Plus is very telling. They showed a new share interface where you could tap on one photo and drag to lasso a bunch of photos. And then you could share to a web page, just a regular web page that no one has to log in to see. It's not Google Plus. It's not a social network. It's just a web page. I thought that was really telling, right? Because right now, sharing a photo in the context of Google Plus photos is posting it to Google Plus, right? And there's these prompts to share. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's a pretty telling indicator that Google Plus photos is backing away from Google Plus.
And then also when you share that URL, if the other person is a Google user, with one click, they can save it to their cloud, and like now they've got all those photos. Yeah. So
that's real photo sharing.
Family so much.
Yeah. Nothing does that. I don't know of anything that shares photos that easily and that quickly. Pinch to zoom was added. That's probably a sop to iOS users who would immediately say, "Where's my pinch to zoom?"
Mm-hmm.
Apple has struggled a little bit with its photos app on iOS and Mac OS X. I've had some real problems with it. I know a lot of people have. This is a good opportunity for Google to step in and say, "We know how to do cloud services. Why don't you try a different photos app?" Albums and collections, animations. You can now create your own stories, create your own collages. In addition, I'm going to guess they're going to stay in Google Plus, continue to do the auto collections, auto stories, auto awesome, but give you more manual control if you're in.
Which is great. There's been lots of times when I've gotten those stories and I've been like, well, you know, so my wife and I actually, all my family uploads photos under my account so that all our photos appear in one place and we can access them in one place.
Yeah.
But what happens is, If you try to do a story out of that, and my wife and I are in different places, then you get, your trip to San Francisco, and then you went to Berkeley, and then you went to San Francisco.
Interesting.
And so having that manual, be able to do it manually and create your own stories like that is absolutely fantastic. That'll be really, really nice.
Also, a lot of intelligence categorizing photos in the back end. You'll be able to do things like search for baseball, and it'll give you all the pictures of baseball, or snowstorm in Toronto. It'll give you all the Toronto geolocated pictures that have snow in them. That's going to be great. Yeah. That's a really good idea.
Yeah, that was cool. Seeing search get utilized by Google, who are known for search. Yeah. Within the idea of you have 10 years worth of photos. How do you find that one moment? Giving you more power to find those photos is, I think, going to be key for this. So.
We saw a brief look at Google Translate, which segued into a considerable amount of sales information in terms of for developers and developer platforms, ad platforms, well-dressed people talking about things I just really didn't care or understand.
Isn't that interesting? They had the developer types talking about the more generic news and things, and then they had the marketing types talking to the developers about developer features. I thought that was really odd.
Gina was excited about A/B testing in the Play Store. I mean, that's
absolutely cool. I thought that was an interesting juxtaposition, actually, right? Because we have developers in the audience who kind of want to see somebody who looks like them on stage, or having them talk about the big concepts, which is what they want. They want developers hungry, to get to the next billion, right? And to think about opportunities in classrooms and out of their own lives, right? I mean, this is the problem that's sort of endemic to our industry, is that we're all sort of making apps for ourselves. So it's like reaching these new people. But yeah, the A/B testing in the Play Store looks awesome. So, and seeing, you can see now who looks at your app, and then who converts into a purchase, what text, you can try different versions of your text, and what descriptions perform better. So those are fantastic marketing tools for developers and companies. And new developer pages. So if you're a company that makes multiple apps, if you're an indie developer who makes apps, you can have your own page and describe who you are and what drives you, and just do some better branding there.
Here's an interesting stat. Google sends 70 billion messages a day through its cloud messaging platform. Just threw that in.
GCM is awesome.
Yeah.
And I'm really glad it's working. It's Android, iOS, and Chrome now. I mean, as a developer, if I'm looking to do, push notifications across all platforms, GCM, Google Cloud Messaging is definitely a contender.
AdMob, Google Analytics, Play Services, blah, blah. Family Discovery Experience is kind of interesting. The new label, the Family Star label, applied to apps will tell you it's safe. It actually has also a more granular breakdown by age groups. There's a family zone on Google Play where it's all Family Star approved. That makes a lot of sense. It's funny, as you see Google staffers reach their 30s and start having children, I think you're going to see more and more features for kids. Oh, there's kids in the world.
Oh, this is a new experience.
Yeah. parental filtering, that kind of thing. And some of this stuff is, of course, required but by law, but some of it is stuff Google's doing, and I think doing well. They talked a little bit about Audacity and the Nano Degree, and now Cardboard, kind of the last big announcement. They announced Cardboard would now be 30% bigger. More cardboard in order to hold the Google Nexus 6 and other 6-inch phones. He said there are a million cardboard viewers out there. I don't know if that's a million that they gave away and then were recycled, or if they're in use. I guess they don't really know. The new cardboard has a plastic button, and the cardboard SDK has been extended so that you can put an iPhone in there as well as an Android phone. That's a big deal, cardboard for iPhone as well as Android.
Mm-hmm.
They talked about a tool, I guess, called Google Expeditions VR field trips designed for classrooms where a teacher could actually take kids here.
I'd love to see Google doing more. I mean, they have Google for Education, and they're doing some initiatives there. I'd love to see them do more for the classroom, because I think they're uniquely positioned to do a lot more. But this was good.
I don't think it's as elaborate as it could be.
Right. I mean, think about what Apple did, right? In the
It was very good for Apple.
Late 80s, 90s. Yeah. It was really good for them.
I think Google has such a strong argument in education, mm-hmm. and we do know that the number one computer in education is the Chromebook. I think they really could go more.
They could.
Successfully.
And I'll go do that.
Will you?
I'll go do that. Google, let me know. I'll come run your education platform.
Google also announced tools for people who wish to do virtual reality video called Jump. It includes a design for a 16-camera rig. Plans are free if you want to build your own, but you can also go to GoPro and buy one. I would guess that's $6,000 thereabouts. Yeah. But more importantly, they created a software, the VR assembler, that will stitch it all together. Looks like it did a pretty good job. And they said there is a player for this. The player is YouTube. YouTube already has 360-degree videos. And I think they have, don't they have cardboard-compatible dual screen videos on YouTube or not? They will if they don't already.
I think they do. I've got to imagine that for the camera bit, that real estate would be all over that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, those walkthroughs and home tours. Yeah, totally. That and travel. That's a big sector. Yep.
Absolutely.
But the key is playback. Having YouTube supported is brilliant. Mm-hmm. That's actually necessary. They mentioned the self-driving. That was it for cardboard. They mentioned the self-driving car and Loon, but didn't say anything new about it, just that it's happening and it's a success. And that wrapped it up fairly quick, 2 hours and 15 minutes. As you say, Gina, no new hardware. That's kind of interesting.
An interesting departure.
Yeah.
Well, no, we talked about this a bit on All About Android, and as much as I want a new Nexus, a 5.5-inch Nexus or a 5-inch Nexus, it's at the point now. They didn't have new hardware, that much hardware last year at Google I.O. The hardware announcements come closer to the fall, closer to the holidays. We'll see that probably in September or so when they announce the new phones. I think
they're also content to let third-party phones do their own thing. You know, Android Wear is a really rich ecosystem at this point. And notice everybody was wearing Android Wear watches. They celebrated the diversity, the number of manufacturers. I think they can do the same with the phones at this point. They did talk a little bit about Android One and Google's plans to get into the next generation of smartphone buyers.
No new Chromecast, though, which was interesting. I thought they were going to talk about Chromecast. Yeah. They talked about it a little bit, but no Chromecast 2, so...
And no mention of the Chrome bit, or no mention of any of the things they're doing, you know, in on that side of the platform, of the hardware platform, Chrome OS, that sort of thing. No, there were no demos of Android apps running on Chrome and that sort of thing that they've been playing with for the past couple of months. I thought that was interesting. So
it was fairly demo light, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. Very demo light. So.
Mm-hmm. So it was all about software, and that's about it. Cool. And In some to some degree, maybe they saved those announcements for elsewhere. For instance, today they announced the opening of Inbox. They didn't mention anything about the Tango tablet, which was announced last year at Google I/O, but went invite-free today. So maybe they just decided some of this stuff we don't need to put in the keynote. The fact that both those things were released today tells me they were originally in the keynote and were cut for time. Mm-hmm. I didn't think it was that important.
Well, it looks as if they were trying to tell a story in this keynote. And the keynote was about reach and billions of people and spreading information around the world. And this is the ways that we do it and the way you interact with that information. And so maybe Inbox being not invite free doesn't tie into that story anymore.
Yeah,
so
Well, I want to thank you. Final thoughts, Gina Trapani, ThinkUp.com. What do you think? Are you happy?
It was a solid keynote, very developer-focused. Look, I always go into these things, kind of hoping for that huge, splashy consumer product launch. But, that's not what this is. It's a developer conference. And so I'm excited. I'm excited about Android M. I wanted Android news. I was happy with the Android news that I got. I'm excited about M. I want to try it out. Overall, I think it was a pretty good keynote. I'm excited about Photos, and I'm excited to play around with the Play Store and A/B test some new copy for my app.
If you are an app developer, this always very good news for you. We didn't mention the test platform as well, which is, I think, important to developers.
Yep.
Cloud test.
Ron Richards?
Yeah, I'm not that upset that I missed it. I'm not that upset that I didn't get an invite. So
there you go. That's all you can ask for.
Yeah, pretty much. I think it's some interesting stuff. I think a lot of the Google Play Store stuff and the developer stuff is the real dark horse. And it might seem kind of like we kind of zoned out a little during it. But that's the stuff that can really be impactful on the developer level, less so on the Google level. And so I'm excited to see what comes out of it. I am surprised that while we knew that Android M was coming out, I am surprised that they're looking at a Q3 release of it. It looks as if the development lifecycle for Lollipop is going to be shorter than we thought. And
what
I'm
they say
curious
Q3? Yeah, that could be anything from what?
Sounds like it's me just in time for the holidays.
July to September.
Yeah.
But it'll be curious to see how that affects the penetration levels of the OSs through devices over the next year or so as we add yet another dessert to the mix. And folks in the chat room are saying that Jason Howell took a photo or saw photos of milkshakes at Google I/O.
It's milkshake. Maybe not.
Oh, they're just trying to confuse us.
Yeah. Milkshake, milk whey, I don't know. There's milk in there somewhere. That's the important
definitely.
Part. What do you think? Anything, Aaron Newcomb, that stood out for you?
Oh, I was surprised at how introspective it was. I was surprised at how muted it was. I thought we would get a few more bigger announcements. But, I think definitely Google's definitely headed in the right direction in a lot of these areas. I'm going to go out to the grocery store right now and buy some Brillo pads to celebrate. Because that's the thing that I'm most excited about is to see where that's going to go. I think Google has tremendous ability to push into and to drive the Internet of Things into more of into reality. So I was really excited about that.
I want to thank our guests. Oh, and we did get one giveaway at Google I/O, the new slightly larger Google Cardboard. Sorry, no pixels for you.
Three cents worth of cardboard. That's what you get. And a couple of magnets.
This is the Google I/O of last year. It's very similar in many ways to the Google I/O of last year. Thank you, Gina Trapani. We'll see you very soon. Find her at thinkup.com. Just great to see you. All the best.
Yeah, great to see you. Thanks for having me. See you next week on Twig.
Yes. Oh, you're going to be on next week? Great.
I believe so, yeah.
You said it, so you are now.
So now I am.
I'm holding you to it. Ron Richards, you'll see him every Tuesday on All About Android. Thank you, Ron, for being here.
Yep. My pleasure.
Take care. He's happy he didn't get an invitation now. Aaron Newcomb from NetApp and regular on Floss Weekly, All About Android this week on Google and wherever we can find him.
That's right. Yep.
Yeah, we find him a spot because
we're always
love
glad
having
to be
you
here.
On.
This is fun.
It. Our hearty thanks to Braintree. Our sponsor for all breaking news and event coverage on Braintree was part of the announcement. Their V.0 SDK, which for mobile app developers makes it easy to take payments of almost any kind, now is also Android Pay compatible, along with Apple Pay and PayPal and Venmo and credit cards and, of course, Bitcoin, because don't all your customers want to pay for things in Bitcoin? The Braintree V.0 SDK is a simple, small snippet of code, works on almost any platform. You'll be up and running in 10 minutes. You want to check it out? and get $50,000 in transactions fee-free. Go to BraintreePayments.com/twit. And if you want to check out Android Pay integration, BraintreePayments.com/AndroidPay. I'm Leo Laporte. Thanks to our producer, Jason Cleanthes, and our great studio crew for putting this all together. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.